Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is TWiT.
Bandwidth for TWiT specials is provided by CacheFly at CacheFly.com. This is TWiT Live Special number 131, recorded June 27th, 2012. Google I.O., keynote, day one. Breaking news is brought to you by Slingbox, which can turn your iPad into a television. With the iPad app from Slingbox, you can watch your home TV on your iPad anywhere you go. Check it out at slingbox.com/twit.
But you are watching breaking news of Google I.O. coverage. Nothing is on time today. That's always true. June 27th, 9:30 a.m. is when it's supposed to start. If you're checking your watch, 9:34 a.m. Pacific time. But we have lots to talk about because they leaked everything out anyway. There were YouTube videos that have been uncovered. We were just playing a couple of those. There's also specs that have been uncovered from those videos and from the Google Play Store. So really, just keep an eye on your feeds, and you're going to know everything that's going to be announced before it's announced. Let me see if I find anything else about that Nexus tablet. Nexus 7, yeah, as I mentioned, 8 gigabytes, 16 gigabytes, 7-inch IPS display, Tegra 3 processor, $199 for the 8 gigabyte, $249 for the 16. That's pretty good. That's what we expected. It was going to be a good price. Developers.google.com/event/IO if you would like to watch on your own. But we will be providing commentary as it goes along. I'm more interested. The tablet's good. The tablet is exactly what we expected. It's exactly what Google should do. I want to hear more about their explanation of why they're doing it. There were some in that video we watched. I do think they're going after Kindle, obviously, more than the iPad, the Kindle Fire in this case, which is smart. They're going to compete on price. I don't know, and by the way, it's going to have Jelly Bean, which will be Android 4.1, will be on that tablet. I don't know any release dates or anything like that. We did get price, though, so we'll probably get a release date when they actually officially announce it in the speech. I think it looks a lot like an iPad, so that kind of helps. All right, the video has started, at least, from the stage in Moscone Center in San Francisco. Crowds taking their seats. Rapidly. Do we have audio from them, too? I can't hear it. Okay. It's just a little techno music. It's probably not. No, it's not techno music. But it is music. Let's see who we get to come up on stage. Oh, the countdown has begun. Take your seats, folks. You've got 54 seconds to get ready or switch over to the other stream if you don't want to hear us talking through it. We're going to hear him talk about the Nexus Q. We're going to hear him talk about the Nexus 7. And, of course, big thanks to Slingbox for helping us bring you breaking news at live.twit.tv. This crowd out here, by the way, are Google developers, and they love this. They will eat up every minute of the next 2 hours. And the hour that's coming tomorrow, and all the sessions. People have been told, hey, you want to really dig into Android? You got to go to the What's New at Android session immediately following the keynote. So we know we're going to hear about Android today. In 8 seconds. That's like watching New Year's. It almost looks like people are dancing with all those strobes going off. I think Google's trying to look different than an Apple. They're trying to look hip.
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Senior Vice President Vic Gundotra.
Vic Gundotra is the guy who usually hosts these things. And wow, they really got a more hip look to it than they have the past couple of years.
Hello. On behalf of Google, let me extend our warmest welcome to all of you. To the over 6,000 people here at the Moscone Center in San Francisco, welcome. And to our Google I.O. viewing parties that are happening all around the world. Over 300.
I guess that's what we're doing. We're a Google I.O. viewing party.
With over 30,000 in attendance, welcome. And finally, let me also welcome the over 1 million people who will be watching this event live streamed on YouTube.
TNT Oka points out that the room may look hipper, but Vic's going for the sweater look. And I admire that.
You know, this is our fifth year, and we're going to make this Google I.O. incredibly special. Our teams have worked very hard to put on something really great for you, and we still have some surprises left.
Except for the Nexus Q and the Nexus 7.
It's not just about the hard work our teams have done. This conference is really about you, developers. When you think back over the last 5 years, things like Google Chrome or Android were in their infancy. We owe, in no small measure, the success of our efforts due to your support. Thank you. Thank you for betting with Google, and thank you for supporting us. Thank you for spending 3 days of your life here at the Google I.O. conference. We hope you're going to absolutely love it.
You're welcome.
Now, one small favor to ask, please. If you have a hotspot, please turn the hotspot off, as it's going to greatly increase our chances of having a successful set of demos. Okay, with that, let's get
Please turn
started.
Off your MiFis.
Please join me in welcoming Director of Android Product Management, Hugo Barra.
Now, Hugo Barra, we just saw in that leaked video on YouTube talking about the Nexus 7. Let's see if that's what we get first.
All right. Good morning, everyone, and welcome to the Android keynote at I.O. 2012. Last year on this stage, we talked about momentum, mobile, and more. Momentum, accelerating of Android across the world. Mobile, everything we're doing to innovate on smartphones and tablets. And more, extending the Android ecosystem well beyond the typical mobile device. This year, we're continuing with the same three themes and picking up right where we left off.
We're recycling last year's theme.
Momentum. Last year, right here, we announced that Android had crossed the mark of 100 million devices. 100 million was a huge milestone.
But tell me what last year happened.
It's been a pretty busy year, and I'm thrilled to announce our latest milestone. Ready? 400 million Android devices.
Ah, the chat room knew it before you announced it, Hugo.
400 million is a pretty huge number, but we're definitely not slowing down. Last year, right here, we announced that we were seeing 400,000 new Android devices activated every day. Well, today, 1 million new Android devices are activated every single day. That's about 12 new Android devices every second of every day. Thank you. More devices in the hands of more people and a truly global phenomenon. Take a look at this chart. What you see here is a heat map representation of the growth in Android devices throughout the world over the last year. Places like Japan, South Korea, and France grew between 2 and 300% in these 12 months. But what's even more impressive is that the developing world is adopting Android at an even faster pace. Very large markets like Brazil, India, Thailand, and Indonesia all grew around 500% over the last year alone.
Most of the device manufacturers and the carriers are seeing that as the place where they're going to make their money, is in those developing markets. So it's not a surprise to hear them emphasizing that.
I want to share with you what we've been working on since we launched Ice Cream Sandwich late last year. I'd like to introduce you to our newest release. You guys ready for this? Android 4.1 Jelly Bean.
Just like the statue that was erected on the lawn yesterday in Mountain View.
Jelly Bean builds upon what we created with Ice Cream Sandwich. We want things to be simple, beautiful, and really smart. There are a few things about Jelly Bean we wanted to cover today. Project Butter. a performance-focused effort that went deep into the guts of the platform. We'll then talk to you about a number of delightful improvements that we've made throughout the entire system. And finally, we'll show you the new Google search experience on Android.
Thank you.
To tell you about Project Butter, please welcome Android Engineering Director Dave Burke.
Boy, they're handing it off quick. I went from Gadotra to Barra to Dave Burke.
Not that that's bad.
Thanks, Hugo. Our brain's visual cortex is especially sensitive to the physics of motion. It notices delays of as little as 10 milliseconds. So in Jelly Bean, we put a lot of effort into making the user interface fast, fluid, and smooth. This is the project that we call Project Butter. The first thing we did was improve the system frame rate and make it consistent. We took the display refresh signal called VSync and extended it to drive the entire Android framework at 60 frames per second. That's one heartbeat about every 16 milliseconds. And now everything runs in lockstep. Application rendering, touchscreen processing, screen composition, and display refresh. In Jelly Bean, we also introduced triple buffering in the graphics pipeline.
Mixed metaphor, doesn't bother me. Butter and jelly beans, fine.
To all run in parallel without waiting on each other. The result is a more consistent rendering framework, and everything feels a lot smoother. Scrolling, paging, animations, they're all buttery smooth. Next, we focused on improving touch experience by solving two problems. The first problem is that touch events are reported independently of screen update. In Jelly Bean, we now actually anticipate where your finger will be at the time of screen refresh and use that position to draw the display. This results in a more reactive and uniform touch response. The second problem relates to how devices conserve power. They actually dial the CPU back to a lower frequency when there's not much activity in the system. And if you interact with the system in that state, it can potentially take tens of milliseconds for the CPU to ramp up and respond. And this can lead to a sluggish UI. So in Jelly Bean, we introduced the concept of touch input boost. Now when you interact with the screen, we'll instantly ramp the CPU up. It's literally putting the full power of the CPU at your fingertips. Now, one of our goals when we started to work in Jelly Bean was to be able to measure and improve interactive performance in a scientific way. So we created a new tool called SysTrace. And SysTrace collects data directly from the Linux kernel and uses that to produce an overall picture of what the system is doing.
Boy, they got geeky quick with
this.
I like it.
The data is represented as a group of vertically stacked time series graphs. And in this particular application example, you can see that there's a rendering interruption that's much longer than 16 milliseconds. And this results in dropped frames. When you look at the data, it's pretty easy to correlate that with the database interruption here. So you know what to fix. SysTrace comes with the Jelly Bean SDK, and it's a really useful tool for device manufacturers and for you guys to optimize the performance of your application. So, how noticeable are these changes in practice? Well, we got out a high-speed camera to compare a stock device running Ice Cream Sandwich against a device running the latest Jelly Bean. Let's take a look.
At least they benchmarked them against themselves here. I like that. Let's see what we used to do.
So this is a really sophisticated camera capable of capturing 4 million pixels at a rate of up to 300 frames per second. Device on the left is running Ice Cream Sandwich. Device on the right, Jelly Bean. So let's take a look at the launcher animation. So the Jelly Bean device has a much higher frame rate. It feels a lot smoother. Let's take a look at another example.
That almost looks fake. Ice Cream Sandwich can't be that bad. You know that operating system that only 7% of you have?
Man, and again, the Jelly Bean device on the right, it animates much more smoothly and much more consistently. And it just feels much more silkily smooth. And that's the triple buffering and VSync in action. So these improvements apply across the whole system, and they apply to all applications. And it's something that we're going to continue to improve on in future Android releases. If you want to learn more about this, we've got a really good session tomorrow called For Butter or Worse. And to butter you up even further, let me pass you back to Hugo. Thank you.
I like the pace. I like the level of information they're giving here. Remember, this is for developers, so we're getting good developer information.
Well, Jelly Bean is not only the fastest and smoothest version of Android yet, but we've also made a ton of improvements throughout. We've touched every corner of Android, and it all comes together in a way that's really delightful. So let's jump right in. I have Randall here from the Android product team to help me with demos. And first of all, people spend a lot of time on the home screen in Android because we've always let you customize it the way you want with apps and widgets. But when you've got a lot of stuff on your home screen, adding another widget or getting things to fit just right can be a little bit difficult. So we solved that problem in Jelly Bean. Let's go to the device. So here's a home screen with a bunch of apps. Now, Randall is going to pick up a widget from another home screen and move it to this one.
From another home screen?
Everything.
We didn't get to see it on the stream, unfortunately.
And aligns perfectly around the widget.
So it's automatic realignment. I get it.
But what if the widget is too big and there isn't enough room for it on the home screen? Well, here's another home screen that has even more apps. Watch what happens now when Randall moves that widget to this screen.
Windows Phone was touting this same type of customization, but it worked in a different way. Remember, they're tile-based, so everything's very square.
This
is a little more, slightly
you
more adaptable.
Up a widget and toss it off with a familiar gesture. You can do the same thing with apps, as many as you want. And that's probably enough, Randall. Thanks. Okay, let's go back to slides. So we also made text input on Android a whole lot better. In Jelly Bean, we refined and retuned our dictionaries. They're much more accurate, more relevant, and the keyboard learns intelligently over time. We've also added a bigram prediction algorithm, which guesses the next word you're going to type before you start typing it. It's really cool stuff.
Replacement keyboards are one of the biggest things Android users obsess about. So this is important to see if they've gotten it right.
Well, voice typing works really well when you have a data connection. If you don't have one, it doesn't work. And it can actually be slow if you have a bad connection. So in Jelly Bean, we shrunk the Google speech recognizer that runs in our data centers.
Ooh, that's a nice little advantage. Probably doesn't sound as impressive as it will be in regular use because you'll actually be able to use
the speech recognizer to fit on the device itself. So if you have a poor connection or if you're offline, you can still type with your voice. Why don't we go to the device? Let's show you that live. So Randall's going to put his phone in airplane mode, and he's going to use his voice.
You can use voice typing on an airplane. I think that's a good way to pitch it.
Do listen carefully because this is one of the few times when we let him speak.
This is a demonstration of voice typing, period. Words appear even though I don't have a connection, period.
Liz just yelled, "We can't see his hands. He might be typing." That's pretty fast. He's either an incredibly fast typist or it worked.
All right. Let's go back to slides. We're launching offline voice typing initially for U.S. English, and we're going to add more languages pretty soon. Now, we also wanted to make sure that Android works well for everyone, particularly given how quickly Android is growing around the world, like I showed you earlier. So in Jelly Bean, if we could go back a couple of slides, please. So in Jelly Bean, we've improved support
slide person's not
Arabic
in sync.
And Hebrew. We've added a new Arabic font to the platform, and we're also adding 18 new input languages, including Persian, Hindi, and Thai. Okay, let's go to the next slide now. There you go. Making sure Android works for everyone also means improving accessibility. With Jelly Bean, we're introducing gesture mode, which enables blind users to reliably navigate the UI using touch and swipe gestures in combination with speech output. It's really, really awesome.
That is nifty. And accessibility is something that is
also added
hugely important for all these platforms.
External Braille input and output devices via Bluetooth. And if you want to learn more about accessibility in Android, stop by the sandbox just outside to see some awesome Android devices with integrated Braille support. So that's accessibility. Now, let's talk about camera. In Ice Cream Sandwich, Ice Cream Sandwich made it possible to snap photos really quickly. The Jelly Bean Camera app makes it possible to review photos you've already taken really, really quickly as well. Let's show that light. Let's go to the device. So Randall is snapping some photos here, and you'll notice that there's a new animation of the photo flying out to the right. So that tells you with a simple wipe, you can bring it back into view and look at the photo you just took. Thank you. From here, you can tap and share this photo, as you know, or you can keep swiping to look at the other photos you took. If you want to go through these photos really quickly, just pinch to go to film strip view, and then you can scroll much faster from here.
And that's an advantage over the camera app in iOS, where you have to go into the gallery and then back.
If you don't like a photo, you can easily get rid of it by just swiping it away. Pretty cool, right? And if you delete a photo by accident, you can always tap undo and bring it right back. So that's camera. Pretty cool. In Ice Cream Sandwich, we introduced Android Bean, which lets you share things like web pages, contacts, maps, and so on between devices using NFC by just tapping them together. Today, more than 1 million NFC-enabled Android devices are shipping every single week, and that number is growing quickly.
That's a small percentage, but hopefully it is growing.
Android Beam features. First, you can send someone a photo or video by just tapping your phones together. And second, you can instantly pair and connect your phone with an NFC-enabled Bluetooth device like a speaker or a headset by just tapping it with your phone. It takes 1 second. Absolutely brilliant. Let's keep going. Thank you.
NFC.
One of the signature features of Android is notifications.
And what are they doing
Android
this?
Notifications are great. They show you what's important, they never get in your way, and they're accessible from anywhere. In Jelly Bean, notifications show you more information. They're actionable, they expand and collapse, they have full-bleed photos, they're beautiful, and they're customizable, so you guys can build amazing notifications into your apps. Really want to show you this. Let's go to the device.
Obviously, Android always going to emphasize their customizability. That's one of the knocks against iOS.
Rather than opening the phone app and calling him back, you can do that right from the notification itself. Just tap on call back. It's really quick and easy. Now, if you leave the phone app while you're in this call, when you're done, you can just go back to notifications and hang up straight from there. It's awesome. Now, the Gmail notification moves up and automatically expands. You no longer need to open the Gmail app at all to see what's going on in your inbox. It's all right there. Nothing important right now, so Randall, why don't we just swipe that away? Okay. Now, here's a calendar notification, and you can see that there's a meeting here at 10:30. Now, if you're running late or you can't make it to the meeting, you can easily email everyone in the meeting and let them know. Just type email guests. And because you'll usually be in a rush when you do this, we give you a set of canned responses. You can choose any of these or, of course, write your own. Thank you. Let's go back to notifications. All right, so we can see that Romain shared a photo on
there were mods for Android that could do that sort of thing, but now it's built into the OS.
Right,
that's good.
Here in notifications. And you can plus one it or even share it right into your circles, all without opening the app. Here's a notification from Foursquare. You can quickly like or comment on a friend's check-in, again, without having to open the app. This is TuneIn Radio. It's a great Android app for listening to radio stations from around the world. When I have a song playing, I can see this beautiful album art. I can control my music, and I can actually quickly favorite a song from here without opening the app. Now, let me also show you a quick trick. Notifications expand on their own as they bubble up to the top.
I assume the developer has to take advantage of this, so not every app's going to work that way.
Whenever you want, with a simple two-finger gesture. Watch this. And the expanded Pulse News notification here, I can see news stories.
That's nifty.
With photos and headlines.
I don't know if it's
really,
applause-worthy.
Really. So those are Jelly Bean notifications. They expand and they collapse when you need them. They're actionable, and they can show you a ton of new information. And just like an ice cream sandwich, you can dismiss all notifications at once with one simple tap.
Microsoft will say our live tiles do that all the time without having to go into notifications.
Complex procedures.
It's a taste thing.
Now, let's talk about search. From the very beginning, Android had search at its core. With Jelly Bean, we took a hard look at search and redesigned it from the ground up. First, a new UI. Second, faster and more natural voice search. And third, a new feature we're calling Google Now. Let's start with the new UI. Last month, we introduced the knowledge graph in Google Search. The goal is for Google to understand that the words you use when you're searching are not just words, but real things in the real world. In Jelly Bean, we're using the power of the knowledge graph to show you search results in a new, richer way. For example, if you want to know what movies Angelina Jolie has starred in, we'll show you this card. Or if you ask how much the Earth weighs, you'll see an answer like this. If you're searching for the weather in New York, we'll show you a card with the weekly forecast. If you want to find a nearby Starbucks, we'll show you a card with a quick map of some stores close to you.
How palm-like to call them cards.
Now, let's show you what we've done with voice search. You know, sometimes you'd rather just speak your search query or ask a question. In Jelly Bean, voice search is much faster. It's also better at understanding natural language, and it speaks answers back to you using the power of the knowledge graph. Let's go to the device and show you this live. Randall, why don't you show us a few more examples? You can talk.
This one probably doesn't work offline since it's search.
Google will respond.
Someone in the chat room has.
Who is the Prime Minister of Japan?
Changes weekly.
The Prime Minister of Japan is Yoshihiko Noda.
Semantic search, always impressive when it works.
All right.
Try a few more.
We'll try another one. What is the definition of robot?
Robot, a machine capable of carrying out a complex series of actions automatically.
It's pretty appropriate.
It's a pretty good sounding voice, I have to say.
Okay. Try another. How tall is the Space Needle?
Space Needle is 604 feet tall.
Obviously, they're going to ask it questions they know work. The testing will show how well this feature is actually improved.
Okay, we'll give it one more try. Show me pictures of pygmy marmosets.
They're so cute. Neoteny always wins
now,
over an audience.
Notice that if you go back to the results, if you swipe away that card, there's a wealth of additional information from the web on pygmy marmosets, which, as I'm sure you know, are the smallest monkeys in the world. Google will always give you web search results for all of your questions. Thanks, Randall. Let's go back to slides. Thank you. Now, the third part of the new Android search experience is called Google Now. Today, smartphones are powerful. They can do pretty much anything you ask. Search the web, give you directions, traffic info, anything. But smartphones are only as smart as you tell them to be. They rely on you to do everything. You have to enter a search query, you have to type in a street address, and you have to ask for traffic in a particular area. But with Google Now, that starts to change. Google Now gets you just the right information at just the right time. And all
how
of it
does
happens
it know?
Automatically. So how do we do this? If you choose to, Google Now uses things like your search history, your location history, and your calendar to figure out what information you might need and when. Let's see a few examples on slides. Traffic. Google Now figures out when you commute from home to work and back. It'll then tell you how long the commute on your usual route is going to be, and it'll give you a faster route if there's a lot of traffic.
This
next
sounds
transit.
Pushy.
When you're near a bus stop or on a platform at a subway station, Google Now tells you when the next bus or train will arrive.
That's useful. That is very useful. Because that's a situation where there's not much
places to get wrong if you're near a
Google
bus stop.
Will show you bars, restaurants, and places of interest around you as you walk down the street. And when you're in a restaurant trying to figure out what to order, Google now will tell you what to order. Next, appointment. When you have a calendar event, Google now will help you get there on time.
So it adds in directions. That could be useful.
You normally take the bus to get around. Google now will tell you when to leave based on how long it'll take you to walk to the bus stop, when the next bus arrives, and how long that bus ride will take. So we get there on time.
Google will tell you how to get there on time.
If you have an upcoming flight that you've searched for, Google now keeps you up to date on the status. It tells you which terminal to go to, and it updates you if there's a delay, all automatically.
Again, a lot of this stuff, there are things that different apps can do. I want to see what the settings are, how you activate
Google
it,
keeps you
all that sort of thing.
Your favorite sports teams in real time. You'll see scores and upcoming games. And the best part is you don't need to set up your favorite teams. You've already done that by searching for them on Google.
Oh, that's good. It gives you transit times,
travel.
Leo.
Google
you're
now knows
late.
When you're traveling.
Oh.
And if you're traveling internationally, Google now will give you interactive cards for currency conversion and translation. It also can
I want to know how it well it does based on my search results.
And
a lot of this seems like it could get annoying if it's not getting it right.
I also think there's an issue of creepiness that they just don't seem to get. That, you know,
you
the idea
Google
that, hey, this is great, you don't have to tell us, we know, is not a positive. Why do they, you know...
Unless they get it right all the time.
Right. Well,
and
also,
I have control over when it happens.
Yeah.
And they're not talking about that. Of course, they're talking to developers.
Well, let's get started. Yeah. The easiest way to get to Google now, there are two ways. You can either tap on the search box, or you can simply swipe up from the bottom of the screen. And when you do that, you see the familiar Google search box. You also see a beautiful header that changes based on your time and location. You also see the Google Now cards beneath it. So let's start with the first one. Google Now is telling me that I have a meeting at 10:30 a.m. today. It's also telling me that this meeting is 16 minutes away from where I am. Google Now also notifies me when it's time to leave, so I'm not late for my meeting.
Because it just...
Here, knows. It tells me that I need to leave by 10:14.
And then it nags and nags.
Google Now knows that I'm a Giants fan. And right now, it's telling me that there's a Giants game coming up in a few hours.
Because I keep searching for Giants.
But I'm actually searching for...
Maybe I'm worried about Giants.
Fantastical creatures.
Yes.
Of course, and I know what's happening in real time. If I wanted to, I can buy tickets from here real easily.
I think it's possible that they've just given up and said...
Let's think about when you want to...
We're just going
to
do it.
We're just going to barrel ahead.
Yeah. We're not going to apologize. We're just going to do it.
And I don't know the area too well. So it's showing me a few places nearby, including some restaurants. Let's take a look. 00 looks pretty good, so I'm going to tap on it and get more details.
I guess now that WebOS is open source, they can steal that metaphor of cards with immunity. I don't know.
Huh.
I can also book a table if I wanted. Cool. Let's go back. And
you know, I mean, grocery stores sell club cards, and you know when you buy it, when you do that, you're sending signals everything you do.
And telling me that the gym is 29.
I guess it's an accepted thing, but I feel like every time I click something on a Google app, I'm sending them a signal.
It's not the fact of what it does; it's how they peddle it to you.
Yeah,
that's always the difference.
Google now is also telling me that my flight is delayed, and I'm only 19 minutes away from the airport. It's also telling me that when I get to the airport, I'm going to go to Terminal 2. Well, that's a quick
It's also telling me it's not a good idea to have that second slice of cheesecake.
I do need something like that.
And more accurate as you use them.
It sends you a shock.
We'll be adding more cards over time. Thank you. Back to you.
Big crowd.
Thanks, Barish. That was great.
So there's still that thing under the thing.
Project Butter, a bunch of delightful improvements.
Project
like easier
Butter?
That's the development effort to improve the responsiveness and the smoothness. Smooth and fast.
Is it lickable or chewable?
You throw your jelly beans
Aqua
in it.
Was lickable.
Fry them up.
Project Butter.
Can't wait for you guys.
It should be Butter.
Now, I'm sure you all want to know when you can get your hands on Jelly Bean.
There you go. Here we come.
We're going to roll out over-the-air updates to Galaxy Nexus, Motorola Zoom, and Nexus S. And also release Jelly Bean to open source, starting in mid-July.
July open source.
Thank you.
but not an exact date. But that's good. That's pretty specific. Mid-July.
But we're making the SDK available to you today as a developer preview. You can download it right now from developer.android.com. Jelly Bean SDK developer preview.
Not coming out to everybody in mid-July.
The SDK is built for you guys, Android app developers. But as you know, chipset vendors and device manufacturers develop for Android too, to bring us their awesome hardware. So today we're announcing the Android Platform Development Kit, or PDK for short, which is like the SDK, but for Android hardware developers. It contains the necessary source code and low-level API documentation required to port Android to your hardware if you are a hardware developer. PDK will be available. Thank you. PDK will be available to Android device partners 2 to 3 months before the platform release date of all future Android versions. Thanks.
Obviously not for this one.
And we've actually started with this release. A beta version of the Jelly Bean PDK has already been available to a few partners for the last few weeks, and they've been providing us valuable feedback.
People's Democratic Republic of Korea.
And now it's available to everyone on an ongoing basis.
You say Jelly Bean PDK, it just, it's hard to take that seriously.
Innovate in parallel with Google and ensure the latest Android release can be well optimized for
their
hardware.
This is a big, of course, a critical thing for Google is to get everything on the same platform.
That's what we're doing on the platform side.
And anything they can do to make that happen.
To tell you about what we've been doing on Google Play, here's Android Engineering Director Chris Yerga, fresh out of the salon.
Out of the salon.
Well, well.
Boy, they've been moving fast
see
and bringing a lot of people on stage.
On it? What is that
That's
thing?
The Q. That's the Nexus Q, the first social streaming media player, is my
those
guess.
Hair jokes never right. get old.
Or it could be the Nexus
so
7 tablet. But both of those things were leaked before
what
the
salon
thing
does
began.
He go to?
Not just for apps and games, but also for movies, music, and books. Google Play is entirely cloud-based, which means that all of your content is always available across all of your devices.
What
and
is
Google
the shirt?
Play is
Who
Android
is that?
Apps.
It's Mustache.
Lots
man.
Of apps. Today, there are more than 600,000 apps and games in Google Play. And we're seeing more than 1.5 billion installs every single
it's
month.
Conan? No.
And we've just reached a total
Who
of 20 billion app
Ron
installs
Jeremy.
Across Google
My
Play.
Name is Inigo Montoya.
It's incredible. It's billion with a B.
Jeremy,
and there's no way we could have done
it's
that
Ron
without
Swanson,
everybody
I said Ron
in this room. Developers are the lifeblood of our ecosystem, so thanks for all your hard work.
Ron Jeremy wouldn't be a very hairy.
Now, over the past year, we've launched a number of features to support you as developers and help you build your business. Android apps are available in 190 countries across the globe, and paid apps are available in 132 of those countries. You have flexible ways to monetize your apps. You can use an ad-supported model, paid applications, and in-app
So I think the rumors that this would be the Android day are true.
Yeah.
Just a year after the launch of in-app billing, more than 50% of our app's revenue now comes from in-app billing.
And because the Nexus Q leaked, I imagine we're going to hear about Android at home.
With the recent launch of
We're not going to hear any Chrome stuff today
right.
at all.
Now enable you even
yeah, tomorrow is a Google, we hear, is Google TV, probably Chrome.
Yeah.
We're also giving users more ways to pay for your apps. We've expanded carrier billing.
They did this last year. Separated carriers, rather, things into 2 days.
Countries. And we're continuing that momentum by adding new partners. We've also given you insight into your business with additional metrics in the Google Play Developer Console, easier ways to distribute your apps with APK expansion files, and ways to connect with users with the ability to reply to reviews. And for aspiring new developers out there, we've launched Android Training, a collection of free online classes to help you learn best practices. And today, we're announcing several new features for developers as part of Google Play. So first, we know that you spend a lot of time and money writing great apps. And so we're constantly at work trying to help you protect your investments. We're introducing app encryption in Jelly Bean.
Ooh,
from Jelly Bean
DRM.
Forward. That's fine. You can love it. Come
Maybe.
On.
Or is it just encryption for security?
From Jelly Bean forward, paid apps in Google Play are encrypted with a device-specific key, both before they're delivered to the device and stored on the device. We're also announcing smart app updates. So today, when you update an app, your users have to download the entire APK again. You know, clearly, this wastes bandwidth and battery life, and we could do better than that. With smart app updates, users will only download the parts of the APK that have changed. We looked at some of the most... I've read through this stuff so many times, I don't know, like, what parts are going to be exciting to you. But that, the team is very excited about this as well. And on average, across the most popular apps we looked at, a smart APK update is about a third the size of a full update.
That's so great.
It's going to be much easier for you to have your users on the latest version. It's a
win
for
carriers. Well, especially with people fighting bandwidth caps.
Developers mm-hmm. and users.
And that's really good.
The best news about it is we handle it automatically for you. You don't need to do anything, and it's supported on Gingerbread and above.
That's cool. And Gingerbread and above. Good backwards compatibility.
Delta updates, yeah. That's great. I like how relaxed these events are.
For a couple years now,
they're moving
fast. We've offered developers a service we call Android Cloud
Device
Messaging, which lets you send data to apps while they're running in the background without having to implement your own sync solution. It's been amazingly successful with the developer community. We deliver billions of C2DM messages every single day. Now we're ready to take C2DM to the next level. And we're announcing Google Cloud Messaging, which adds great new features like message multicasting, message payloads, and more. But I think the best feature, hopefully you all agree, is that Google Cloud Messaging is completely free for all developers and there are no quota limitations.
Wow, for now. For probably a few years.
So is that the ability to send intents over the cloud?
We're going to have a special session on this tomorrow on Google Cloud
Messaging. Sounds like
it. I encourage you to attend. So lots of exciting developer announcements, but Google Play is also about great digital content, movies, music, and books. Google Play has thousands of movies to rent. You can watch new releases, blockbuster films, and your favorite classics on your Android phone, tablet, or even on the web. Google Play also has millions of songs from your favorite
millions of
artists,
songs, thousands of movies.
Whether it's an indie band, rock legend, hip-hop stars, and everyone in between. And you can also bring
it
all
is
the
Ron
songs
Swanson.
You already own
it's definitely
Google
his
Play
hair.
And store up to 20,000 of them for free in our music library, so you can listen
strange.
To them anywhere as well.
It's a fan.
And finally, Google Play is also the world's largest ebook collection with more than 4 million titles.
Cryptic t-shirts
available.
Are the new
all of this
black.
Content is stored in the cloud, so
the
it's
new
available
hotness.
Whenever
new
you
hotness.
Want, wherever you are. And today, we're bringing...
There's a Tumblr log called Cats That Look Like Ron Swanson.
It starts with movie purchasing. Now, along with rentals...
It's a short
blog. ...movies are available for sale on Google Play.
Ah, selling movies.
...and years to watch as many times as you like. And we're also adding TV to the video experience. You'll be able to purchase episodes or entire seasons of your favorite TV shows. It's perfect for when you have a spare half hour or you're on the bus or something, and it really works well with a mobile device. All of this is launching today on Google Play, and we've partnered with some of the biggest names in the entertainment industry.
They just pushed an update to Google Play Movies.
ABC Studios,
literally.
NBC
right then?
Universal.
Right then.
Pictures.
My phone went zzz.
Finally got the timing right.
Wow.
Everything else leaked out ahead.
That is kind of amazing.
Finally, magazines are coming to Google Play. We've partnered with top magazine publishers, including Hearst, Condé Nast, and Meredith, so you can enjoy hundreds of titles right from your Android phone or tablet. This includes premium magazines like Esquire, Wired, and Family Circle. Buy single issues or subscription. And we offer 14-day free trials on our most popular magazines to encourage you to try it out. We've got all this great content on Google Play.
The controversy of magazines coming to tablets and phones has just petered out. It seems like it's just standard.
Anywhere.
Right.
On your phone, on the web, or on your tablet.
And, this is all this is all about parody, right, with Apple.
I think Hugo has a few words to share.
Oh, we're going to get the tablet announcement?
That got the crowd excited.
Yeah.
Thanks, Chris.
They keep looking under their seats.
Well, it's always been a goal of the Nexus program.
Yeah, here we go.
To provide you with the best of Google experience. Access to the latest software coupled with an Android experience the way that Google envisions it. We wanted to take that model one step further. We wanted to design a best of Google experience that is optimized around all this great content available in Google Play.
And so a replacement
human. We
wanted
a device that lets you immerse yourself in all of that media.
The Nexus 6.
We wanted you to be delighted when you read books, magazines, watch movies, and play games. So we partnered with a great company, Asus, to help us build just that device.
Of course, the Asus executive admitted that this morning. Probably
right.
Forgetting what day it was over here.
And today, we're introducing Nexus 7. It's a beautiful 7-inch tablet. It's built... Thank you. It's built for Google Play. It's running Android 4.1 Jelly Bean. And here it is. Nexus 7. And by the way, we're really pleased to have Johnny Shi, the chairman of Asus, here in the audience today. Johnny, please stand up.
He just got finished firing the executive who leaked this earlier today.
It was a four-square check, and you can't blame him.
Thank you. So let me tell you a bit about Nexus 7. It's super thin, light, and portable, and yet we've managed to pack a lot into this device. First of all, the display. 1280 by 800 HD display, which is perfect for reading and watching videos in stunning clarity. Performance. Tegra 3 chipset with a quad-core CPU and... Wait, there's more.
It's all been spoiled.
So but... Tegra 3 chipset with a quad-core CPU and a 12-core GPU. That's basically 16 cores, which makes everything, including games, extremely fast and smooth. Front-facing camera, perfect for Google Plus Hangouts and video chatting.
No rear
all
face.
The connectivity options you'd expect, Wi-Fi, Bluetooth, and NFC. Gyroscope and accelerometer, essential for high-performance gaming. And battery, up to 9 hours of video playback, and up to 300 hours standby time. And best of all, it's only 340 grams, just about the weight of an average paper book. It fits perfectly in one hand. You can put it in a purse or bag. It doesn't tip over when you're reading or watching a movie in bed. It just feels right. That's Nexus 7. Music.
This does lead me to believe Apple might, in fact, do a 7-inch.
It looks like iPad. A 7-inch iPad.
Yeah.
Music, movies, books, magazines, apps, and games.
But it's obviously all targeted at the Kindle.
From Google right. Play, right at your fingertips.
But it's much more
now,
capable than a Fire, and
Nexus
it's Android.
7 in action. Here's Chris Yerga once again.
They haven't announced it yet, but the price is going to be $199 for the 8 gigabyte and $249 for the 16. So it's right there in the price point.
It's very compelling. Thank I think you, Apple Bill. Has to respond to this.
We designed the Nexus 7 experience with three goals in mind. Create the best possible Google Play experience, make all your favorite Google apps work beautifully, and support the next generation of apps and games. Nexus 7 is made for Google Play. When you power it on, your content is front and center. Right here on the home screen is my library, containing the content I've recently been reading, listening to, or watching on any of my devices.
That is a very Kindle Fire-like home screen.
I was reading the Bourne Dominion on my phone. So we can tap on the cover there and pick
up... It's
like a exactly
cross between Windows Phone Tiles and the Kindle Fire.
Yeah, I mean, Play's been moving in that direction.
Nexus 7 is an ideal device for reading books. The form factor and the weight are just right. It has the portability of a paperback backed by a cloud-powered personal library.
Skeuomorphic.
Now I'd like to show you the magazine experience on Nexus 7.
Yeah.
Here's the new Google Play Magazines app. And just like your coffee table, the newest stuff is on top. You can swipe through and find something that's interesting to read. Why don't we go ahead and Esquire? And once I bring it up, I can tap on it and bring up a list of page thumbnails on the bottom to kind of quickly swipe through.
Condé Nast is not going to be happy with that.
Reading. So yeah, that one looks good. And once we open it up, you look at the content. Just looks beautiful on Nexus 7. But if I want to focus, maybe
Flipboard
on
has
a
better,
more
credible strategy for magazines.
I can tap on the
and not that they won't, you know, magazines will do both, of course.
The article in a form that's optimized for that still looks beautiful.
Ah, that's interesting. So they are doing a readability style.
Yeah, that's smart.
From here, I can also navigate and bring up a table of contents and quickly pull up any other article. So now let's look at some interactive features. So why don't we go to Shape Magazine and here from the cover, since this is an interactive title, I can tap on any of the interesting articles there and get to, I think he wants to work on his abs, so he's going to pick the flat abs. So we've gone beyond print replica here and added interactive elements to custom fit the text to the device, keeping everything readable without impacting the design.
Wow, just like a web page.
Randall can drag up to expand the content right here on the page and even tap on the link to jump into an exercise routine and get further details on those all-important ab exercises that Randall likes to do, all without leaving the page. So that's our premium magazine reading experience on Google Play.
I think, you know, they're trying to make a standardized interface for magazines. I think magazines are going to play, are just going to play with everybody. Why? Ideal for watching movies and TV wherever you are. But yeah, I agree. Zinio, as the chat room's pointing out, is sitting at home watching on the history.
So let's open the Google Play Movies and TV app.
I just am not convinced that magazines need to exist on television.
Well, especially a 7-inch. It's not a bad experience on an iPad, but.
So why don't we pick something? Astute observers will note that I'm a Parks and Recreation fan.
There you go.
We got the confirmation.
Episode one there. And start watching
breaking news.
TV.
It is Ron Swanson.
Who are the suits? They want me to run for office.
Uh-oh. They license this?
Oh, my God.
I'm sure they did. I'm sure that's why he's wearing the T-shirt.
Yay. Yay. Wait, what does that mean about you and Ben?
I don't know. I think it's going to be really bad.
Uh-oh.
Well, this isn't really showing us anything except that it does play.
Video looks stunning on Nexus 7. You can see the individual hairs on Ron Swanson's mustache.
That's funny.
So in here, you have access to the movies and episodes you purchased and links to the store for other episodes of the season. And you can, of course, also download your TV shows for offline use if you're going to be somewhere without Wi-Fi, like on a plane. So that's finding content I already have. But what about discovering new content? With Nexus 7, we're introducing a powerful new recommendations engine for discovering content that's relevant to you. We present this information on beautiful and dynamic widgets on your home screen. Here you can see that we've set ours up for recommendations for apps, books, and movies, but you can customize it to show the content you're most interested in. And if you don't like a particular recommendation, just dismiss it and you'll get another. These widgets are intelligent, and they'll get smarter and more accurate the more you use them.
These tiles are live.
Now,
oh, interesting.
Sometimes new content finds you. Maybe you hear a song you like on the radio or TV, but you don't exactly know what it is. We've added a What's This Song widget. You just tap on it, and it will identify the music playing and give you a link to the Play Store so you can buy it instantly.
That's something Apple doesn't do. Of course, SoundHound and a lot of Shazam, a lot of apps do, but... So the device that's a smart thing to tie into a store.
Slides for a second. Nexus 7 is the perfect device to use all the Google applications you already know.
They Sherlock to Shazam somebody in chat.
It's a perfect size to read and respond to your emails. Chrome, your favorite websites look beautiful on the HD display. And this is the first device that ships with Chrome as the standard.
So that's huge. So they were offering Chrome as a beta upgrade on Ice Cream Sandwich. And I've been using it. It's great. So that replaces the old browser, and this is a much better
experience.
Let's
go back to the device.
Includes tab syncing and bookmark syncing.
Why don't we start with YouTube? So the new YouTube app has a great tablet-optimized design. You got your channel feed here on the left, and you can just swipe over. Why don't we pick something here to
watch? This is where having an ecosystem really makes a difference. You can say, hey, YouTube guys, get this working.
You've got high-def YouTube right in the palm of your hand. It's the YouTube that you already know and love, but optimized for Nexus 7. Now, in addition to exploring a huge amount of videos online, you can also explore the world around you. So let's take a look at Google Maps. Now, in Google Maps, you can find your way around with the features you are already familiar with, like turn-by-turn navigation, public transit, live traffic, and street view. But what about getting to know a place before you get there? I heard about a local bar called District, so let's go check it out. We can tap here and get all this.
Oh, I left my iPhone there once.
That's where Sarah Lane went when she left her tickets for the wall.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
They got stolen there, huh?
I was kind of jealous, actually.
Yeah.
Once I do, I'm inside the bar. I've got this nice view. And for an even better experience, I can turn on compass mode.
So this is interesting. This is that backpack. Look at that. Look at that.
So it's internal street view, and it's pretty cool, yeah.
And Google's been mapping internal places for a while now with a backpack.
It's going to work better in the Bay Area than
maybe
New York.
It's going to work at Denny's, I can pretty much guarantee.
Hook it up to the thankfully. Gyroscope, which makes it incredibly smooth and fast.
But hip bars
responsive.
Will be well mapped.
It's just like being there.
That's really great.
Now,
that's very
announced,
cool.
We're also adding support for offline maps, so you can save the data for an entire city locally on the device and be able to use maps without a data connection.
That's
so tap
key.
On the menu.
Oh!
It's easy as bringing up the menu and tapping Make Available Offline, and you're good to go.
Again, ecosystem.
So those features are all...
Very powerful to have all of that stuff together. This is where Google can really start leveraging its assets.
Google Currents. Currents brings you all the great content that the web has to offer in a mobile magazine format that looks incredible on Nexus 7. My morning routine is I open up Currents first thing in the morning every day to check out the news.
Currents is Google's Flipboard.
You have trending stories here around the top. But why don't we tap into the Daily Beast and take a look at what articles
are there. I love
the
Daily Beast.
So here we have a list of recent articles we can swipe through and read in a reading mode that's actually built on the same technology that the magazine's web view is, so it has that same beautiful look. And you can see the content here is pulled straight from the web and beautifully formatted for Nexus 7.
So I presume now, Google's going to do the deals that Flipboard's done with content creators to make sure that they get compensated properly.
I wonder if Flipboard lost two people yesterday. I wonder if that has anything to do with it or not.
And within a few seconds of doing that, Randall, I believe, picked Arabic. So we're going to see this entire edition translated into Arabic.
Wow. Again, another asset Google's had for a long time, but can really leverage.
Well, that's what Larry Page has been aiming to do. Focus, use what we do well.
We'll start with the game Horn from Phosphor Games in Chicago.
Okay. Not Horn, Horn. Horn.
Horn is an epic adventure.
It really does sound like you're saying Horn.
With the kind of
environment and it is an epic adventure.
Seen on a mobile device. You've got lens flares, environmental effects, and even individually rendered leaves on the trees.
That's the Tegra right there.
Randall takes the express elevator down here.
Now that.
We can see that in addition to the graphics looking beautiful, the animation is very...
much more impressive than the Parks and Rec clip.
Well, and also, I think a good competitor to PS Vita, right? I mean...
And the 3DS, huge.
Yeah. And 7 inches is a better form factor for this kind of thing, I think, than a 10-inch tablet.
I don't know, Pocket Planes is pretty good on a 10-inch tablet.
I know, I hear you're addicted.
I'm totally addicted.
It's 8-bit. I don't think you really need the processor.
Take my planes up. This is impressive.
Yeah.
And I know, and we're seeing it off a stream, too. I want to see it in real life.
So, going from alive to dead, we're going to take a look at Dead Trigger from Madfinger Games. They're a developer located in Prague. Now, well, for some games, all right.
But yeah, 3DS may be a different target audience, but how much is a 3DS?
Would be enough of a selling point.
And if mom can buy this...
Yeah,
and get for $200 and get good gaming and
water droplets that are refracting and sort of going
doesn't have buttons. That a few people in the chat room said, "I need buttons to play games."
I'm with you on that.
Yeah,
and you can see this is the I really don't like games like this where they're trying to map the controls onto the screen and it's
well, you don't get the you don't get the force feedback you need. Yeah, but it looks gorgeous. Well, the blood's a little extra red, but.
Gaming has to be casual.
It's casual.
So now that you've seen everything Nexus 7 can do, Hugo, I think we all have one remaining question, which is, how
where's
can I
mine?
Get...
Yeah.
Thanks.
So one thing that didn't leak is the release date.
Awesome.
Well, he may say something now. They're going to get one today, so obviously.
Nexus 7, built to bring you the best of Google in a super thin, light, and portable device that's optimized for Google Play. It's a fantastic device that we want to get into the hands of as many people as we can. That's why starting today, we're making Nexus 7 available, starting at only $199.
Today. And this is very different from Surface in the sense that I think this is as with the other Nexus.
Nexus 7, we'll also give you a $25 credit to spend in the Google Play Store.
That's great.
As well as some great content to build out your library. You'll get the Transformers Dark of the Moon movie from our friends at Paramount Pictures. The book, The Born Dominion, and free magazine issues of Popular Science, Food Network, Condé Nast, Traveler, and
others. This is very aggressive.
Starting
can
today,
I get mine without
order
transfers?
Nexus 7 directly from Google Play with orders shipping in mid-July.
Mid-July,
in the US,
okay.
Canada, the UK, and
okay,
Australia.
I'm going to buy one right now. I don't know if you really need the larger memory, do you?
Canada and UK and Australia, too, by the way.
Android was always meant to go beyond phones and tablets.
Can't get the Kindle Fire there.
Last year at I.O., we showed you a sneak peek of a new kind of Android media device, which we called Project Tungsten. We've been really busy since then, and now we want to show you what
Wi-Fi
we've
only.
Created. And to do that, please welcome
yeah, there's no 3G,
Joe Britt
huh?
and Matt Hershenson.
Although I'm sure that will come. Right now, only the Galaxy Nexus phone is on the website, on the Play site.
All right.
Yeah, the Play Store never went down for maintenance.
You just saw an amazing tablet for enjoying all your great Google Play content, but we want to go further. We're entering a new era in consumer electronics where the combination of hardware, software,
what's with the hair?
And cloud is opening up an entirely new
what's
world.
What's wrong with their hair, Theo?
There's a lot of it.
With Project Tungsten, we brought together the power of Android and Google Play to develop the first consumer electronics product Google has ever designed and built from the ground up. We call it Nexus Q.
Okay, this is the Q.
And there it is, under the little towel.
Yeah, you were right. It's what's under the towel.
Here's the video we were watching before the show.
It's a shame they can't control leaks a little bit better, but still, what does it hurt? It doesn't hurt.
I don't think it really does, no.
We're trying to create something that is unexpected,
powerful, and mysterious.
It's a robot. Ooh.
I'm sorry, Dave.
There was a point in time where consumer electronics were a physical thing, a transistor radio.
I don't think that's changed, to be honest, man.
Now they are made of fine mist. Experience.
And now, unicorn tears.
Unicorn tears.
Consumer electronics is the hardware and the software and the cloud.
Oh, he's talking about the cloud.
Small Android-powered computer.
I'd like this. I don't know what it is, but I want one.
Media. That you
what does it do?
It's a media streamer.
It was going to be
Sonos.
Meant that it needed to
but
be
it does YouTube.
Not only functional, but also beautiful.
And it makes little lights. Just one more thing in my bedroom to light up.
I know.
People every day.
I can't see my clock during the day, but it's too bright at night.
Yeah.
I don't understand that.
Physical products. It raises a lot of interesting opportunities.
This is how you get the software from the device to your phone.
So they showed this at Google I.O. a couple of, I guess last year, where you tap the phone to this ball.
When they were just demonstrating Android at home,
yeah.
Right. I think this is the first of the real shipping
made
Android at home
took
products.
A year.
Yeah.
But when you're into people's houses, you would never touch them.
Token British designer.
The idea here is that people can be inquisitive, play with it, but also start using it interactively.
And hopefully this
and
will get me a night.
You think, why can't everything do this?
Isn't why can't
this the
everything,
right way that
glow?
Should be?
What is it, though?
Everyone in the chat was like, what does it do?
It's a magic
what it does.
Chances are. It's the magic
it really is a third wave of consumer electronics, and it's all about the cloud.
Buzzword bingo.
It's just the beginning.
Okay, so it's a letter Q.
They didn't want to give away what it does because that's what we're going to hear next on stage.
Okay, good. It's pretty. Is it a round boxy box?
It's.
Okay.
Not exactly. No, actually, it's not. It's more like a round
really
Sonos.
We're excited to unveil Nexus Q. It's a small Android-powered computer that's designed to live in your home. It plugs into the best speakers and TV in your house, and it's always connected to the cloud.
Not the worst, just the best.
Nexus Q tightly integrates with Google Play, so you can easily stream music and video.
You have to pay extra.
You use your Android phone or tablet to control it, but you're not actually streaming content from your device to it. Instead, Nexus Q pulls your content directly from Google Play.
So it's much like the Apple TV, then.
In other words, you use your phone or tablet to control the cloud. Now, before I show you how this works, Matt's going to tell you about all the design and engineering that went into creating Nexus Q.
The leaks Thanks, only mention music and YouTube. I'm interested to see if there's other things.
Well, if it's Play, then they have movies. They have
black box.
TV shows.
The industrial design is
they have Parks
totally
and
unique. And what we've managed to put into this small sphere is nothing short of incredible. The heart of Nexus Q is an OMAP 4460, which is the same chip used in Galaxy Nexus.
Yeah, that's a TI.
It also is a state-of-the-art audiophile-grade amplifier built right in.
It's an ARM chip based, made by TI.
And at 25 watts... this small sphere can really fill a room with beautiful, clear, crisp
sound. It has an amp in it?
Mm-hmm.
Of course, music and video today are digital.
That's bizarre.
Some would say analog outputs are a little old-fashioned.
You can plug it in the speakers
Nexus
and you don't have to worry.
Nexus Q has optical digital audio, and micro HDMI outputs so you can stream music and 1080p video to the best speakers and the best TV in your home. Nexus Q has dual-band Wi-Fi and Ethernet, as well as NFC and Bluetooth, which lets you set it up in a few minutes right from your phone.
$299. Ships in 2 to 3 weeks.
To connect future accessories.
It's a little pricey.
Encourage.
It's $200 more than an Apple TV. That's interesting pricing. And locks you into Galaxy, the Play Store.
Always popular and always a great feature. The hardware is pretty cool, but what brings Nexus Q to life is Android. Joe's going to show us what it can do.
Okay.
The OMAP is a dual-core A9 CPU. So has its own graphics core. It's a system on a chip.
And I'm going to start by playing some music for you. So up here, let's go to the device.
16 gigs of flash. It's not really storage. It's streaming.
No, it's a streamer for sure.
Music app. Here we can see his entire music collection.
Micro HDMI, Toslink,
as he scrolls around,
Ethernet.
You can also see his artists, albums, and so on, all stored in the cloud.
Banana Jack speaker outputs.
Now, Randall is going to choose
Banana
the room
Jack.
To start playing music in.
Tasty.
And he's picking the living room. Let's see what music he picks. And it looks like he picked...
I don't think this is a compelling product, to be honest. At that
Odyssey.
Price, I think that's a mistake.
Very good taste.
It's very expensive.
And it's very appropriate.
Well, how much is the Sonos? Just one of the boxes.
Well, the Sonos Connect, which just is a duplicate of, is the same price.
Yeah, so I think that's what they're targeting. They're not targeting Apple TV.
This actually has a little more than Sonos Connect because it has an app in it, which Connect does not.
It sounds really good. And as you can hear, it starts...
Sonos has always been very pricey. It's not been a... It's aimed at a higher end.
And I think they're... trying to say that that's what this is too, with all that talk of engineering and quality.
To me, more than just great quality sound. Part of what makes Nexus Q so cool is that listening to music can also be visual and interactive. It lights up with a ring of LEDs around the perimeter.
This is not. I think this is a non-starter, to be honest.
And if you
is
have
this their hi-fi?
TV,
yeah.
You'll see this visualizer as well.
Yeah, great. Just what I want.
Nexus Q, you can play music throughout your entire house. You just pick the rooms you want, and it'll play your music in sync.
You don't take the same pharmaceutical.
This is over-engineered and overpriced.
He's going to show us how this works. He's going to pick the... He's going to add the green room Nexus Q, so the rest of the team back there can enjoy the music in perfect sync with the living room here on stage. You know, mobile devices have made music more of a personal and sometimes isolating experience. But music is often best enjoyed with friends. That's why we made Nexus Q the first ever... social streaming device. It's a cloud-connected jukebox where everyone brings their own music to the party.
Turntable.fm?
Your friends can just start adding songs from their own Google Play music libraries to Nexus Q. Let me show you how this works. I'm going to ask Matt and my friend Chris to help me out. Where did Chris go?
Do we have to have cues?
Yeah.
Chris, please come on over and have a seat on the sofa.
I think you're putting it on the queue or sending it to the queue.
Now Randall is going to start playing another song from his Nexus 7.
And then they're going to get...
So the four friends, four people in the world who have this device...
can get together.
If it went to...
Well, no,
phones,
if you have
maybe.
One, I don't have to have one. I can go to your house. I can start...
You come to my house, but... Yeah.
Matt, what would you like? That's the idea.
Oh, I see. We're both controlling it with our phones?
Yeah.
That's annoying.
Reminds me of those cool lights on Nexus Q.
Nice. And so Matt is going to use his device to add a song to the queue.
Do you young people do this? Because us old people are not doing this.
Look.
Well, I don't have
so
any friends. But if you have friends,
okay.
I don't take enough acid to have this display in my house.
Do some more. How about this song, Dark Star?
No, young people don't do it either.
That's a really cool song.
Dark Star?
So you can see that the
so
song
we're going.
Matt just added...
That's just completely changed the mood.
So everybody who has a device is able to see the queue of music that's going to be played. Chris, what do you have to add?
I think I'm going to add this really great new rockabilly guitarist, J.D. McPherson, but I'm not interested in waiting around, so I think I'm just going to take right over.
Here's the problem, right there.
So this is a great example. So at any time, anyone can move songs around the queue.
It's not a great
anyone
example.
Anyone can take control of the listening experience. Everyone can see the queue in real time on their devices. It's pretty cool that my friends can now play their music in my living room.
No, it's not great. It's a fight. It's not great.
Because no one ever fights over what music should be played.
What the hell?
So that's music on Nexus Q with multi-room playback and social streaming. A great amplifier built right in with digital outputs so you can hear music on the best speakers and TV in your home. And speaking of TV, wouldn't it be cool if you could bring all of your movies to a friend's house?
Well, I think some people would take advantage of it, but I know what you're saying. It's not a massively popular.
Look, I remember the first time I used an iPod to do a playlist at a party, and I couldn't keep people away from changing the music. It's not what you want. You want one DJ. You
well,
don't want five
DJs.
Because you
want to be in charge of the music.
Well, somebody needs to be in charge. I hear it's pretty good, but Dark Star?
Communists
really?
Will really enjoy this at their parties.
Even Turntable FM doesn't let you take over. You put the next song in the queue.
You should have a queue system, not take over. You're right.
So Matt's going into Play Movies and TV app on his Nexus 7. And all he has to do is choose the living room TV and hit play.
I have to point out that most Android phones do this with DLNA already.
Started up here, and it's going to pick up at the very same spot where
so this
I left
is,
off.
So this is a feature many of you already have.
Yeah,
I mean,
right.
People may not know it. Certainly Apple TV does it with AirPlay. This is
you don't have to have a queue to make this kind of thing work. Yeah,
not at all.
This is
anybody with a DLNA-compatible TV or AV receiver can do this.
Now, is this coming from YouTube, or is this just a file that
no,
they
he's,
bought?
No, this is
this is the Transformers
that
file that came
his,
with
yes,
his
exactly.
Nexus 7. Yeah. Right. Okay.
Okay, cool. So you just saw how easy it was for Matt to play a movie from his collection on my TV. No messy authentication.
Roku does do DLNA, I believe.
And remember, what's really cool here is that Matt is controlling what's happening from his Android tablet, but the movie is coming directly from the cloud.
Okay, that's an important now, distinction. So it wasn't the Transformers movie on his tablet. It was from the cloud.
Great with YouTube. Just like with music, you and your friends can play your favorite YouTube videos.
So it's not DLNA in that sense.
Again, the content comes from the cloud. So Randall's going to go into the YouTube app and search for Android in space. Some of the guys on our team worked with a student who had a great idea to send an Android figurine into space. So let's take a look at that.
So this is from YouTube. Presumably, you'd be logged into your Play account, and this would work with the Play account attached to the queue.
Exactly.
That's really cool. But now let's take a look at another video. Matt, what would you like to see?
There's this cool video of these guys beatboxing on a Google Plus Hangout on their Galaxy Nexus.
This may be an example of Google engineers doing something they think is cool without much sense, really, of what real people do. I think at $99, this is a possible. At $299, it's a non-starter.
Take over the TV, straight from YouTube. No more passing around a keyboard or laptop. Everyone is in control. So that's Nexus Q. Amazing hardware with an integrated app. It streams music, movies, and TV from Google Play as well as YouTube. And what's really cool is that it's the world's first ever social streaming device. Nexus Q will sell for $299. It'll be available in the U.S. to start, and you'll be able to purchase it right from Google Play. You can place a
it is on Google Play
today,
now, right now.
And we'll begin shipping orders in July.
In fact, they've put all three up now,
thanks,
including the here 7. I am going to buy a 7. I should probably buy a Q to review, but I just can't. I just can't thanks, expect. I don't expect that to.
That was pretty awesome. Well, we hope you guys
deductible.
Liked what you saw here today. 400 million Android devices, Jelly Bean, Google Play.
When you buy the Nexus 7, Nexus it links 7. Automatically to your Nexus Google account. Much like Amazon.
Now, the Android ecosystem would be nothing without our developers.
Actually, I shouldn't buy one.
So I
Kevin's
going to
probably bring me one, right?
For your incredible
unless
support.
Unless he's going
to
keep it.
Unless he wants to keep it, yeah.
I'll buy one and you can have
I
it.
I mean, Eileen's going to.
You'll have one.
I'm
Eileen's there.
One.
Jason's there.
But Eileen's going to have it for her. I'm going to buy one for myself.
You enjoy the right. 26 dedicated Android sessions, plus all the sandboxes that we put together for you here at Google I.O. There's a lot to see. And look forward to seeing you at the party tonight.
Did they say that they were giving everybody one? Did he say it? So we're concluding our coverage. Breaking news brought to you by Slingbox.com. it's interesting. As long as they keep releasing stuff like the Q, the Slingbox just looks better and better. The Slingbox is a device you hook up to your television set that puts your TV system online so you can access it anywhere from your iPad, your Android tablet. Yeah, it'll work with the Nexus 7. Anywhere you go, you watch your own TV, whatever's on your DVR. You control your DVR. You set your recordings. You can change the channel. Do anything you do at home, on the road, anywhere you can get online. Slingbox.com. Check it out. Amazon, Best Buy, or or slingbox.com/twit. We thank them for their support of our breaking news coverage. That's keynote number one. There's another one to come tomorrow. That's where we expect to see a new Google TV.
Yep.
And probably Chrome.
Maybe Chrome, whatever Chrome OS is going to do next.
The new Chrome OS, yep. It's interesting. This is, they're running an ad, you can show it now, for Google Plus. And now they're letting people out. Gina Trapani was there. Kevin Marks is there. Oh. Jason Howell is there.
Oh, Vic's got to come up and wrap up.
1 year ago he came out at the top. And it was a day that I don't think I'm ever going to forget. You see, it was the eve before we unveiled Google Plus, and I was pretty nervous. After all, we had no idea how people were going to react. It's amazing that tomorrow morning will be our 1 year anniversary. Thank you all for your support for Google Plus. And because of your support, we've gained momentum every week, and we're just more than a little bit excited. We really think we're on to something special. To give you an example of what that something is, let's go to this video.
Everyone good to go?
Good to go.
I'm going to click on Start Broadcast. Hi, everybody. Once again, we're going to have our virtual star party working the telescopes.
I love science. I love communicating and exploring about space and astronomy. So when Google Plus came out, I thought, wouldn't it be cool if we could get a telescope streaming an image right into the Hangout?
We've got Mike Phillips, and he's in North Carolina. We've got Gary Ganella. What's your view, Gary?
The monkey head's in the upper part of Orion.
Before, this was impossible. But now we're getting people from Mexico and South America and South Africa, Malaysia. We're starting to capture the whole Earth. Because suddenly, there is a way we're able to bring all these people together and put on a show.
Too close.
I think everyone's ready but Mike. Oh, I think I see something. Can you move it a little down, Mike? There it is. Oh, man. Look at that.
Dude.
That's pretty cool.
Being able to look out into space gives us context for how we live in our day-to-day experience. It shows us that we're part of this bigger universe.
Gary, you've got the Rosette for me.
I do.
I mean, for us.
You know, I mean, they probably don't have to sell Google Plus to developers.
It's for me, yeah.
But they want to keep them excited about it?
Yeah, I guess so.
They want to celebrate the anniversary, too, I guess.
Sorry you missed the first part of that video, but I think it got the point across. You know, because of people like Frank and Pamela, we now have a vibrant community of astronomers on Google+. Yes, astronomers. And you know what? There are Frank and Pamela's for all other kinds of subjects, too. From health, to knitting, to sports, to photography, to music, even nuclear physics. Yes, millions of people are finding ways to connect with each other, to share their passions, to find their community, and they're doing it on Google+. Now, Google Plus is at the heart of our efforts to really create a simpler, more intuitive experience for all Google users. You should think of it in two parts. The first is our social spine. Once you've logged in and upgraded to Google Plus, we want to present you with one seamless experience, not a series of disconnected products. So far, in just 1 year, over 250 million people have upgraded to Google+, with 150 million of those being 30-day actives, and 50% of that number signing in every day. Those daily active users spend more than an hour with Google.
Now, this seems like they're trying to combat the ghost town.
Now, that part is growing quickly.
Yeah, and they say this a lot. The problem is that everybody gets a Google+ account when you sign up for Gmail, unless you actively say, I don't want it.
Engagement and fast growth. Active Google Plus users are now spending more than 12 minutes a day in the stream.
And compare that to Facebook.
From 9 minutes just a few months ago. Now, you might be asking, well, Vic, what comes next? And the answer there lies in mobile. You know, the growth of smartphones has been spectacular. It has been a sea change for our industry.
It's not a ghost town. It's just that and it's not a bad thing, actually. In some ways, one of the strengths of Google Plus is that it's a limited, group. Quality is very high there because of it.
This is a significant situation, and one we take very seriously. In fact, if you've been watching us, over the past several weeks, you've seen us upgrade our mobile clients for iOS and for Android
nice.
To really great reviews. So thank you.
This is yet we keep today is key, or this conference is key. They need to announce.
Which is, hey, Vic, when are we going to get a native tablet version of Google Plus?
That's not it.
Well, your answer is you're going to get it.
Write API. Say the word API, Vic.
Now, I could spend an hour talking to you about this new application.
Oh, don't,
I believe
don't
it's
do that.
The best version of Google Plus we've ever designed. But my trusty friend Matt and I...
I presume this means iPad as well as...
...a few of the features.
We said tablet,
now,
so yeah.
Yeah.
The
it's
first
generic.
Thing you'll notice, if we switch over to demo... There we go. The first thing you'll notice is a stream that's gorgeous. A stream that's fast, fluid, beautiful. Photos
interesting.
Hot. Text is crisp. Even actions like...
I agree. The Google Plus clients are gorgeous.
They're playful.
And this looks nice on the tablet.
We're also stylizing the stream.
I think
in such
we probably
a way
have the Bilk team to thank for that. No?
I would guess.
Yeah.
Daniel Burke is probably very involved
so
in this.
So, for example, photos, text, videos, all have a distinctive look. So it's easy to know what someone is sharing at a glance.
You're coming out with a tablet. You need to do this, too.
That are becoming very popular with more engagement, and we make them bigger. So they help grab your attention. This stream just feels great to use, and I can't wait to get it into your hands. Now, the second thing I want to show you is, of course, one of the foundations of Google+, which is the Hangout experience. And Hangouts, as you know, is live multi-user video. But on a tablet, it enables a kind of intimacy that's not possible on other devices. You can really just hold the tablet in your hand, lean back, and enjoy your friends and family's company. Now, in this case, Matt is inviting some people to join him. On both screens here, you see the invite experience or the ringing experience. It's gorgeous. You can swipe to answer it just like a call, or you can accept the Hangout. And now, of course, you can see everyone in the Hangout. We've muted the audio so that we don't get feedback. But you can see it's typically what you see in Hangouts, people just having fun. And, of course, you can pin videos, you can swipe left and right to see who's in the room, and my favorite feature, Google Plus Hangouts will automatically switch video based on whoever's talking to really make it feel like a live conversation. You can see they're having lots and lots of fun. Okay. Now, there's a lot more other improvements in the app that we just don't have time to show you. Things like a brand new
they're not going to do an API.
A new ribbon bar, a new place to see notifications.
I wouldn't expect.
Brand new profiles that make it fun to explore other people's content.
I think they want to control it. Their focus on doing their own apps really kind of says that.
We've got you covered, too. In fact, everything we've just shown you is launching on the iPad as well, coming soon. Let's switch to the iPad. And you'll note on the iPad, so I'll wait till you get it up.
A little artificial delay to kind of promote Android a little bit. Oh, yeah.
Immersive Hangouts. You get all the new navigation, the new profiles, and it looks just gorgeous on that Retina display.
Yeah, skip by the sexy picture.
Okay. So that's the Google Plus tablet app. Rolling out for Android today, available for the iPad very soon. What do you think?
I suspect the focus on apps means no API.
Although we just updated the Android smartphone app barely a month ago, we have an additional surprise for you. All those improvements that you just saw for tablets are coming to the Android smartphone today in Android Play. It's also available for your phone. So enjoy that.
That's a command.
Now,
I'm enjoying
it. We have one more Google Plus announcement today. And
okay.
It goes back to really why we started the project in the first place, to really bring real-life sharing to software. Think about the time that you spend with the people that you love, your family, your best friends. Think about where you spend that time with them. It's likely at a barbecue, a restaurant, a picnic, a wedding.
We're fighting over a cue.
What I mean here is that these are all events. Events have a wonderful way to bring people together. They allow you to create and
not an
share
API.
Cherished
yeah.
moments.
No. This is a feature, not an API.
The
they're not going to do a right API.
Event is lost
I'm convinced.
Online. Just consider the state of today's online tools.
They're going to handle all the features because they want to control it.
Online tools basically are glorified web forms that ask you, are you going, yes or no? They kind of help you manage who you're inviting to the party. But what happens when the party starts? Or what about after the party? Today's online tools bail when you need them the most. In life, we plan, we party.
Did he just say they bail when you need them the most? Or fail?
Bail, I think.
During and after your event. That's why today we're so excited to be announcing Google Plus events.
Yeah. When you, as you add features, as you add apps, this is a way of saying we're going to do it. We're not going to let you do it.
Before, during, and after your next party. Let's start off with before. Now, perhaps the most important thing we do is invite someone.
So, of course, it's a Facebook feature.
When you invite someone to your home or to a wedding or even to your favorite restaurant, that's a deeply intimate act. You know, you're hand-picking who's going to be in the room. So we think that who you're inviting should feel special,
what is that?
Too.
Cinemagraph?
So that's why we designed the product to offer lots of ways to send absolutely beautiful invitations in something we call cinemagraphic themes. I'll show you that in a moment. We also understand that you...
This is Evite, right?
Yeah. It
is. Okay, just checking.
Or Eventbrite.
Or Eventbrite.
Including deep integration with Google Calendar. Let's just show you. Matt here
or Facebook
is going
events.
To invite some friends to a brunch. I'll wait till we switch to demo. Okay, so Matt's going to use the product. He's going to click on the calendar button there in the share box, and he's going to now start inviting people to a brunch in Half Moon Bay. It's a city about 30 miles from here. It happens to be his hometown, and he'll fill in some basic information. Now he'll choose a theme. Now here's where it gets really amazing. We have over two dozen of these cinemagraphs.
I am amazed.
If you're using Gmail, I can see where this would be very appealing.
And Google Calendar. Yeah. I mean, yeah.
You're going to have your entire address book at your ready.
You can see the barbecue. That's one of my favorites. And we've really professionally built some amazing ways to make your guests feel special. Now, since this is a beach
you can email
party,
everyone at their Facebook.com address.
A beach theme, and he'll go ahead and set that. Now, finally, Matt will add guests, whether or not they're on Google+. He just adds their emails, and then he sends the invitation.
They don't have to be on Google Plus?
And it invites them to Google Plus.
In this case, we're going to switch. We're going to pretend to be Lindsay, one of Matt's imaginary friends. Yes, he has lots of imaginary friends still. Okay. Now, from Lindsay's viewpoint, she gets this beautiful event post in the stream. And when she hovers over that, it unfolds, just like you might with an invitation you received in the mail. Lindsay can check her schedule right from the post with calendar integration. And she can see that she's free, and so she'll say yes, that she's going. Now, if you jump over to Lindsay's calendar, a brand new feature in Google Calendar, first, the social event has been added. Matt's photo is in the corner, and if she clicks on that, she gets that beautiful cinemagraph integrated right in. Isn't that awesome?
Again, most people use Google Calendar use it with third-party apps because there's an API. This is to pull people back into Google Calendar. I think this shows Google wants you to use their stuff directly. They don't want an API.
Right from the start. Now, finally, we can click through into the event page detail. And there, once again, Lindsay can pull down on the invite, get that beautiful experience. She can see updates from the host.
If I'm a developer in this crowd, I'm wondering why you're telling me this.
Yeah, because this is nothing a developer can use.
This is actually great for our audience right now.
Right.
They may be very excited about
this. This is user
it.
Stuff. Calendar integration, those other I guarantee you the developers are seeing the audience, and I know Gina is saying, API, API, API. We want to write API. But they're not going to give it to him. I think this is pretty clear.
Now, it's no surprise that during the event, photos are a big deal. Just taking a photo
color.
Causes people to smile and laugh. They help us relive the event.
I'm not saying the developers won't want to invite people to parties, chat room.
They want to know what they can develop, and there's nothing to develop here.
Smartphones, everyone's photos get lost. They're with all the guests, and they never, ever come back together. So no one can enjoy them in one spot. With Google Plus Events, we have a groundbreaking feature, my favorite feature of the product, and it's called Party Mode, and it fixes those problems. Once you've enabled Party Mode on your device, all new photos automatically get added to the event in real time. As more and more guests turn on Party Mode, all those photos instantly appear. In this way, Google Plus Events gives your party a visual pulse. We've even added a live slideshow that you can show during the event to make it fun.
So you can instantly remember what the event was like.
Here's the fun you're having.
Matt's obviously in the mood. His brunch has already started. Now, because it's already started,
This is nice. I don't think there's anything wrong with this. This is great.
I think it's actually quite nice. It's a good event system.
Discretion. Yeah. He can choose with one click to take that first photo and turn on party.
And you do, as silly as it is, you do see people at parties taking photos and then showing them to each other.
If you note at the top, the perfectly normal behavior stays there, so you always know when party mode is on. And as guests turn this on, they can control the settings right there in notifications. Let's go back to the events landing page. Now, on the events landing page, you get to see all the photos stream in. People who are at the event who are taking pictures, they will just show up right here. I guess you can see the brunch is going on over there, and they just stream in real time. That's a lot of fun to kind of just watch as it happens.
Someday your Google Glasses will do this.
This view, built in a slideshow view. So, Matt, if you go to the top there, it says play the live slideshow. And if you click during the event, we'll go to an absolutely gorgeous full screen light box, and your guest photos will appear instantly after they've taken those pictures.
Is Hangout integrated so people who can't be at the party can be at the party?
Maybe even people at the party might want to just sit in front of a computer and hang out.
Hang out with each other instead of talking directly.
Before, during, and after. Let's switch back to slides and let's talk about after the event.
Guess not.
There's always been an API for Google Plus. It's a read-only API.
Well, we reminisce about the event. We might think of something that was very special, and we try to hold on to those memories. Because getting everyone's photos and videos, we've given up on that. Well, not anymore. As you saw with Party Mode, and Google Plus will send emails to all your guests and ask them to upload photos they may have taken from other, like DSLRs, and then we'll do something amazing. We'll put all of them in one place in chronological order. Let me show you. Let's show what the events page looks like. Now, one of our teammates, Dave, recently got married, and like any good engineer, he decided to test events at his own wedding. And what you're looking at is really his wedding. So thank you, Dave, for doing this. At the top, you see... let's skip the top there for a second, and let's look at this. What you're seeing here, Matt, if you just scroll down...
Very understanding bride.
...all the photos from all the guests who had party mode turned on. And if Matt moves over any one of those photos... In the bottom right-hand corner, you can see the pictures of the guests who contributed that photograph.
T-Mobile CEO Philip Hum just resigned.
Just quit, yeah.
Nice timing.
Unexpectedly.
Just wanted to slip that out while everybody's paying attention to Google I.O.
Different perspectives. It's the first time you've been able to go do this in a beautiful way. Now, if you go all the way to the top of the stream there, we do also do something else that's pretty cool. We analyze all the photos, and we look at the photos that got the most engagement, either comments or plus one. And there, at the events highlights...
By the way, you have to be on Google Plus to do that.
...the most popular photo. So, Matt, if you click on that top one, you can see that was the photo that got the most engagement from his wedding, the most engagement from his guests. Absolutely gorgeous. Now, in addition, if there was a photo of you, and you were tagged in a photo, your photos would be there right at the top. Now, what if you have a friend... And you just want to see photos that they took.
I don't know.
Well, you can see
what that's like.
The different photographers who had party mode turned on and who contributed. In this case, Matt clicked on Denise, and now he's seeing all of the photos coming just from Denise. You know, when you consider what Google Plus events does for before, during, and after an event, it really speaks to what we're trying to do with Google overall.
Sergey, I've got a really cool event for you.
Oh, wow. Sergey Brin, with the glasses.
It's almost like I don't recognize him if he doesn't have the glasses on.
We're going to do something pretty magical here, and we have a special surprise for you.
We've got something pretty special for you. It's a little bit time sensitive, so I apologize for interrupting. You've seen some really compelling demos here. They were slick. They were robust. This is going to be nothing like that.
Glasses demo.
This can go wrong in about 500 different ways.
It's Project Glass.
So tell me now, who wants to see a demo of Glass?
Yes, we do. Please.
I like how he just busted it. Yeah, Google Plus is great. I got to show this right now.
This is a very Kanye moment.
It is.
You know, that Google Plus is great, but I'm going to let you finish. But
the unit want to show you.
The thick was Kanye.
Momentarily. My friend's JT, he does a lot of skiing, base jumping, windsuiting.
Oh.
All sorts of crazy things.
Windsuiting.
And he's actually pretty close by.
Is he going to base jump off that building
right with the glasses on?
He's not going to base jump out of that blimp.
If the Zeppelin. Guys can maybe
oh my
he
God,
is.
He is.
He's
going to
jump out of the Zeppelin.
What's the difference?
Blimp now.
Zeppelin. Zeppelin has a rigid infrastructure instead of being inflated.
All right.
I like his helmet. That's certainly going to protect him
with,
if he lands at first.
Like a leather helmet?
Yeah, what is that?
JT, can you hear me?
It looks like a rugby player.
Hello. We might have a few technical issues, as I mentioned.
Can you hear me?
Yeah. Hey, we're
Skype
just
lag.
Down here in Moscone. I got a few
That's for aerodynamics? Okay.
I was hoping
That's
to,
so that he can fly
maybe
through the
get
air
that
better.
Unit I lent you down chat. Here. And I thought maybe you guys could show us a fun time.
You'll never see this in an Apple keynote. I agree.
This is pretty cool.
You can hear me down there. I've been listening to your speech through the Hangout. It's pretty cool.
Cool. I see you and friends are pretty close by there. Any chance we can get a little view out the window?
Heck yeah. Yeah, it's beautiful up here. We have a visual on my show.
All right, let's see the glass. Wow. All right, that's pretty good. That's a nice picture. Holy cow.
Oh, yeah.
This is why it's time sensitive.
Very nice. Yeah, that's right.
All right, I see the roof of Moscone there. So if you guys
can... going to jump into the conference center.
...down here in a hurry for us, we'd love to watch that.
Okay. This is huge.
Yeah, you'll have to stand by. We've got our wingsuits, so we've got a pretty good range. It's kind of interesting. People have watched us fly many times before, but I don't think that the world's ever tagged along.
He is wearing a GoPro as well.
I mean, we're nobody really knows the outcome of this jump. We're feeling really confident about it.
Well, we're all rooting Gary? For you.
It would be kind of catastrophic if anything went wrong, but I don't think it's going to. Look at that. The audience looks a little nervous.
Yeah.
They're trying to build a suspense. I think these guys have done this once or twice.
I hope so.
Look at a little ad for GoPro on the side there. Is he got? That's a wingsuit he's got. This is pretty extreme. This is truly amazing.
Well, and Sergey came on like this is going to go wrong in 500 different ways.
Yeah.
We're going to do it anyway.
Yeah.
I love that.
As we start to experiment, being able to share what you're seeing.
Talk about demo.
Is really
I don't really want to say that.
But. And, you know, we don't know what's going to happen here. These guys are all.
We will go to security now immediately after the keynote coverage.
I have great confidence. But
I ain't breaking away from this.
No way. Sorry, Steve.
I think Steve's enjoying it as much as, oh my God, they've opened the door.
So,
all right, happy flight.
What kind of connection do they are they using a 3G
it's
connection?
Got to be 3G
or LTE maybe.
It's
a little choppy, but it looks gorgeous.
He's going to jump out that door.
Yeah, he is.
And we're going with him.
All right,
San Francisco.
He's on Ethernet. I don't think so.
It's got a long wire.
Yeah. Nice and close in there.
They've got to get the right place so they can hit the roof.
He's going to hit the roof of the convention center. He's going to try to.
Has to be illegal.
How do you get a license?
Oh, my God. He jumps. Oh, my God. They jumped. That is incredible. Look at the view. Yeah, he's got a squirrel suit on.
And he's capturing all of this for Google Maps.
Yeah, this is how it works. There's a man in a flight.
Live Hangout through Google Glass.
Still streaming.
That is, okay, he's topped the crowd surfing I did a couple of years ago. I will do that if I can get these. I will do that. That is amazing. I will jump onto the brick house roof.
Will you?
Sure. Wow. Wow.
Okay, where's Vic? Vic, hey, look, this is a Hangout on Air.
It's a Hangout on Air. Holy cow.
There's five of them. Several of them jumping.
There's five of them. Each five of them has glasses.
One of them may still be on the Zeppelin, I can't tell.
But
that was scary.
You can see all their perspectives now. They're going to have to line up one after another to get down to the roof here. It's a little bit of it's a pretty big roof, actually, which is great for their landing.
The city of San Francisco had to have known about this.
And you can there's a little yellow arrow that they're aiming for. You know, it's...
I'm pretty sure this is illegal.
They're all converging on that roof. Hope they don't hit each other.
Obviously, these guys do this a lot.
Yeah, these are pros.
Look at, you know, they have a flight
path. Look at that. Right on the money.
All right.
Look at this. Unbelievable. Holy cow. Oh. Holy cow.
That is insane.
That's the best demonstration of Project Glass I've ever seen.
That's the best demonstration I've ever seen.
That's the best, yeah. So, wow.
Hey, folks.
Now they're going to ride bikes down to the hall.
Hey, so the roof is a little bit big there, so it would take a while to run down the length of it. So we got actually a few bikers up there for this eventuality. We got them wearing glass, too. And
3G. This is amazing. This is amazing.
Let's see if we can...
look at that.
Let's see if we can get it here in a hurry.
This is a hell of a demo.
Right, here we go. First person to do a glass. Here are the bikers.
No!
Yeah.
No!
Yeah.
No!
Here they come down.
And I was going to get a GoPro. Oh, now they're handing off?
And, you know, there's only one good way down the side of a building.
No, he's rappelling down.
He's got a budgie.
He's going to rappel down the side of the building with the glass. So they're handing off whatever that 3G unit is. It could be a live view. Yeah, it could be a live view. Look at that. He's rappelling down. Have you ever rappelled down, Moscone? No, now you have.
Whoa. No, we're on the third. Okay.
We're on the third floor.
Trying to get him to the right floor.
He went too far. He went all the way down.
So
you're
going
to have to go upstairs. Look at that.
Never seen that perspective before.
Now, the production
what
on
you
this
were saying
is
earlier
standard.
About an engineer designing, this is definitely an engineer designing something, too.
Oh, yeah, an extreme engineer. I'm sure Colleen Kelly's very much involved in this.
Don't run anybody over.
This is what she does.
Don't run anybody over.
Holy cow. Google Glasses. No, he's wearing Project Glass in.
All right.
On the bike.
Please stay in your seats, folks. Don't get into the aisles. Please keep the aisles clear.
We have a bicyclist coming
this
in.
This is something you just don't see. This is, Oh.
And then you know what we'll do.
But then
we'll have a rappel down. I want to be in the meeting where they plan this.
That was pretty amazing.
Okay, yes. That's plus one.
at least. Now, it doesn't say anything about the product. I'll give you that, except
well,
that it works.
Oh, no. It says a lot about the product. Are you kidding? They kept the stream going? Are you kidding?
Well, that's more about the connection,
right,
I guess.
Right, we got... I just wanted to...
Yeah, I guess you're right.
That's pretty impressive.
I just want to give them another big round of applause. We got the repellers in the back.
Well, that's the question. Were they connected to an Android phone? Is that how it's... Now, if he's got an Android phone in that bag...
I don't know.
Takes a little while. And
all five
what's in that bag? That's what I want to know.
Glasses worked.
Let's see. And the skydivers should be chasing close
by. Oh, my goodness.
Thank you guys so much. That was amazing.
The glasses did keep the picture all
they're
the way
all
down.
Wearing, yeah. They're all wearing Project Glass.
Okay.
And the hangout. That was a nice touch, too, because the hangout was with
right.
one little blip.
Now maybe,
pretty much perfect.
Maybe you should. Well, all right. Well, come on up, guys. You're
this is
here.
What
come
you
on
do
on.
If you have virtually unlimited funds.
You got a big pile
you
of cash.
You could build a submarine.
Yeah.
Or you do stuff like this.
You saw up there. And there's the skydiving crew coming down the aisle.
This is not what I would say a profitable venture.
Oh,
this is something you do because it's cool.
It has to be profitable to have enough money to do this.
Yeah, but it's
you're saying, you
let's remember they're an advertising company. They're not a Google Glasses company. Maybe they'll make it. Maybe this is amazing.
All right, thank you all
you
so much.
You could buy Lanai or you could do this.
Now
sure.
Maybe we should tell you a little bit about glass. All right, guys, have fun. You can meet them. They'll be out and around if you want to chat with them. Thank you so much. Now, here's what...
Now are we going to get an announcement?
No, this is the wrong one. Wait.
Yeah, don't follow the guy off the stage.
I think we have to do it again. All right, we'll find a time. We actually might find a time to, if you want to see behind the scenes and maybe catch some of that activity on through a Hangout, tune in tomorrow. But now I just want to tell you a bit about how we made that happen and why we're so excited about Glass. And tell you that, I have Babak and Isabel. Please welcome them aboard.
Well done, Sergey.
Yeah, no kidding. That's the best Kanye I've ever seen. So long, Vic.
Does anybody remember where we were at Google Plus?
Good morning. So, what can I say? Awesome. I wanted to take a minute and tell you what was the device that enabled this beautiful demonstration that we just saw. The devices that we used were Google Glass prototypes and quite similar, actually, to what I'm wearing at the moment. This device includes, which by the way is not that you see behind me, slightly different, has a display so I can see visual information right now, images, video.
But does it have an API?
Camera to capture pictures and video also. Has a processor, a pretty powerful processor to process information and a lot of memory to store information. In order to interact with this device, we have a touchpad on the side. We also have a little button here, so I'd like to take a picture of you right now, which I just did. We have microphones, so we can collect audio information. We also have a small speaker, so I can receive audio information. The device also has a number of sensors, so we have gyroscopes, accelerometers, and compass. So it's aware of its location with respect to my body, and is also aware of its location in the broader physical
Google wins the internet, says TechCrunch.
Importantly, it has multiple radios for data communication. To give you a bit about the history of our group, we started about two and a half years ago to incorporate this much technology into a very small form factor. And the picture that you see behind me, this is a good friend of mine, one of the pioneers of wearable computing and one of our team members. This is Thad Starner. We had to hack things together. We're sort of a hacky, informal group, to get the technology on people's bodies, to make it wearable and test out ideas. So we started from this point two and a half years ago, and through a lot of hard work by our team and experimentation, we made progress and reduced the form factor to what you see here. Now, I would like to invite our lead designer, Isabel, to talk about some of the design philosophy that has gone into this device.
Thank you. So we created Glass so that you can interact with the virtual world without distracting you from the real world. And one clear example of this is that we decided to
Isabel
actually position
Olson,
the display above your eye.
And head engineers.
Glass as a whole is designed to be close to your senses, but not blocking them.
No lenses.
Yeah.
In her pair.
Yeah.
Because she has perfect Swedish
and
vision.
This picture shows so clearly how we don't want technology to get in the way. The baby looks into the mom's eyes.
Oh, wow.
They connect. And while doing that, she can capture this beautiful moment without any distractions. And whether it's with family or friends, we want to empower people to use technology naturally. Like in this moment of celebration. So we wanted to pack all this amazing technology into this product to let you do amazing things with it. But that's also in slight conflict too, that if this is not ridiculously light, it doesn't belong on your face. And
I say
we didn't
that all the
only
time.
Want to make it physically light.
You do, it's
but
true.
But also visually light. We don't want to compete
She's,
too much with the user.
Her background is industrial design.
No superfluous detailing.
And her Google Plus profile photo has her wearing the glasses.
Yeah.
And one of the results of this is that our latest prototype weighs less on your nose than many sunglasses.
It's Olsen with two S's.
ISABELLEOLSSON.
So, when it really dawned on me that we were onto something was when I started seeing people in our team posting pictures on Google Plus while running with it. And if it's not
hard act to follow,
super comfortable and super sturdy, how would you be able to show off your serve like this?
Yeah, that's pretty amazing.
Our team. He wanted to brag a little bit. Sometimes it's just you want to do less conventional sports, like jumping into ball pits. So
she came to Google from Eve Bihar's Fuse Project, which is an industrial design and branding firm.
For many people. And most situations.
Last year.
And realizing that we needed to create a scalable design. We decided to put all the components off to one side, creating an asymmetrical design, but that's balanced. And what this allows us to do is to design different form factors for the frames. And this is something we're experimenting a lot with, and here you can see Mike, Lisa, and Maddie wearing their favorite styles.
So we have this incredibly powerful platform, lots of capability, integrated into a very small form factor wearable. And you might be wondering, what is the impetus for our team to embark on this journey to build this system? And what are the uses that...
Sergey gave us a lot of money.
What's the reason for people actually to put this on their head? Broadly speaking, we have two broad regions of aspiration. The first one has to do with communicating through images, and the second one with very rapid access to information. If you think about actually how we connect to people today, we might have a conversation or we may call them. So there's an audio way of connecting to others. We may send them an SMS. We may send them an email. We may send them a letter. So we use letters of alphabet, our writing, to convey our emotions to other people of how we feel at that very moment or at any given point in time. And we believe actually communication with images and access to devices that empower people to communicate with images in new ways are truly revolutionary and may actually enable people to connect in new and potentially better ways. Now, wearing glass has a certain unique aspects to it. For example, when you have a companion camera that's always with you...
I think we did all the demonstration and explanation you need to.
Otherwise, we'd be always lost. It's an example of a group member walking...
I'm wanting to know if there's news,
right,
rather than explaining this to me right now.
Parents... And many, many times you've asked and wished that, oh, I wish I had a camera with me right now to capture this unique moment with my family. When you have glass, you can actually capture those moments.
Yeah, this is a little repetitive, isn't it?
Forever recorded for you. This is
and out of tempo with the rest of the announcement, which was very quick paced, very fast paced.
Another unique aspect of glass is that this is genuinely the first person point of view through your eyes as you see the world. This is one of our team members finishing a race, and you can see actually how it felt at that very moment, basically going...
This is probably not a picture you share, but maybe something that you would want. And I think that the more interesting use for this, the first-person perspective use, is not so much about sharing, as more about collecting. Kind of like Gordon Bell's... Mm-hmm. What was it? What do you call it? Mimex? The thing that camera he wore when he documented his life. Yeah.
With your loved ones through the first person point of view. Quite important, I think, and it could be very, very powerful. And honestly, there are some moments that you may not want to record forever, but sometimes it happens. So this is, this is Will. He's sitting right here. It's one of our
team. So video as well as stills.
These things can also happen.
So you've seen all these unique moments that our team members have captured just using the device for a couple of months. So all this footage is from our team using glass, which is pretty incredible. But what really excites me about this is not only the unique perspective from your point of view, but how easy and seamless it is to share. And I think this encouraged people to do new things with it. I mean, we just pictured We just saw how it is to jump out of a plane. And you can experience these moments where you feel like you're there. And you don't actually even need a glass device to do that. So here is, for example, learning new things. This is Bo going through step by step how to create very tasty dumplings. And I think
which reminds me
there's
I'm hungry.
Something really powerful about this. And sometimes it's all about feeling like you're there. This stream of pictures showed up, and I was sitting at my desk a little bit bored, and this comes up. And I had this visceral reaction that I got so much anxiety all of a sudden. I could totally relate to Steven sitting in this chair. And these pictures continuously showed up in real time, and I was also able to write little comments.
Interesting thing about the Nexus Q, it's made in the USA. Okay. Mm. They don't say who is manufacturing
it. That is interesting.
And
I like
sometimes
that.
It's not about
that's why it's $2.99,
grand right? things. Sometimes
yeah, well, I don't really care where it's made as long as it's cheap.
Communicating an emotion or in a situation.
You're the problem.
And this is my
I'm not a mercantilist. I believe in free trade.
Looking for some empathy from his friends in California.
So the second main aspiration that we have for Glass is to enable people to access information very quickly.
So this is what I'm interested in. Is there an interface?
Yeah, I want to know the new stuff.
If you're looking for...
If it's just a camera on your head, big deal.
Answers to your questions. You may do a variety of things. You may seek a friend and ask him, what is the answer to my question? You may go to the library and go through books. But more likely than not, you will reach to your pocket, take out the cell phone, unlock it, and do a search, and you get some.
That's how we do stuff these days.
We saw some incredible technology just now demonstrated by Android. And what we aspire to do is to make that even much, much faster. And someday, we would like to make this so fast that you don't feel that you have a question, you have to go seek the knowledge somewhere, bring it back, and analyze it. We would like it to be so fast that you feel you know it that fast. And that day may not be today, that day may not be tomorrow, but at least that's our aspiration. And we would like to be able to empower people to access the information very, very quickly. And in practice, basically, they feel more knowledgeable about certain topics. Now, there are different types of information that you might have in front of you.
Yes.
So, for example, you could be in a place, you'd like to have information about this place without disconnecting from your physical environment. You might also want to know how to navigate to the next place.
There's am I going to get a connection out there?
Information actually in this scene. Or you may be biking and you want to know how fast you're going. Obviously, you don't want to disengage from the physical world, go to the computing world and come back. You want to remain engaged with the physical world in a very unhindered way and still get the information that you would like to have. Another thing that may come up is that you may face an entirely new and unexpected
I should point out
situation.
That the conference schedule calls for sessions at 11:45 and 15 minutes.
Yeah, this was supposed to be done at 11:30. That was the schedule that I saw.
We will go to security now as soon as this is over. You're watching live coverage of Google I.O. Day 1. And we expect another bunch of announcements tomorrow. We'll probably go live for that as well.
Present this to you because the crowd here, the people who are watching, are some of the smartest people, developers in the world. And I think
here's the
you
call
would
to
actually
developers.
Hopefully help us to figure out what kind of information we should bring here and put in front of
at least
people's
a platform.
Eyes. The possibilities
this is a platform, I'm sure.
Incredible.
So we shared a little bit about our perspective on Glass and from our team and pictures and videos. And also some of the incredible things you can do. But what really sums it up for me is this video.
We have not yet seen an Android interface on this thing.
No.
We're seeing
it
as just a camera.
He just demonstrated showing us, you might want to know what this food is or where you are, but they didn't show us an interface.
No interface. Yeah. So this is far from done. They've got the camera functionality, which is, frankly, just like wearing a Logitech camera on your forehead. That's not...
I think that is a...
You think of the sensor that's in a camera,
of
though.
Of its own.
This isn't that big.
No, it's not that hard. Nobody's doing it,
You could
though.
Mount that on your forehead.
You know, that would be an interesting product if it was shipping today.
Right.
But it's not enough to be revolutionary, sure.
And yet... We haven't been shown anything more than that.
These little American glasses that she likes to wear.
Can do a hangout.
It's kind of amazing for us French to have this little American girl at home.
Au revoir, Laetitia.
Oh, no.
All right. All right. Thank you guys very much. And I'm so jazzed that actually worked the... whole bit.
We forgot about it already, Sergey, so move on.
Presentation. I wasn't really expecting it to. But I wanted to tell you there are, well, you've seen a whole bunch of stuff. I'm really personally really excited about glass in my day-to-day usage. You know, I've had moments with family like that. And there are all kinds of things this can capture and share. But obviously, capturing images, videos, even sharing video, that's only a part of what a wearable computer can do. And
yes.
We've highlighted a few other little things here, but why are we showing you, you know, basically this kind of utility? And there are basically three reasons. The first is because we've just found it incredibly compelling since we made these and started using them out and about. We've just found that to be amazing. The second is it's actually one of the things we can show you because, you know, you all can't experience what it's like to have all this information available right here just like that. And so, you know, there are other kinds of things that we use it for, but it's kind of hard to make a, it's hard to demonstrate. I guess you could put one glass on top of another glass and then you'd kind of see what we experience, but that might be awkward. So you haven't had a chance to experience it. And third, you know, we're a pretty small team, and we've only had so much time to try various kinds of functionality. And in fact, every day we've been getting great ideas from inside, from outside, from all around the world. And that's why we really want to involve all of you.
So
this
you,
developer
other guy
is
said.
Going to be key to us. And that's why today I'd like to announce the Google Glass Explorer Edition, which is going to be... it's going to be something that we'd like to get in the hands of people who are really passionate
Creed
about.
Creed or for attendees.
Who want to be among the earliest.
That's excellent.
Device.
That's
it's
the way to do it.
Be a consumer device in a sense. You know, it's going to
be... Order one, Eileen.
On the edges. You got to be... Like, you really want to... You have to want to be on the bleeding edge. And that's what this is.
Beta hardware. It's a good idea.
It's a very good idea. And developers are the right people to give it to.
And they're putting up a lower third of the video. This is not open to consumers.
Right.
Got to be at the conference.
So,
right.
It's only available for pre-order here at I.O. I apologize. It's right now. It's only for U.S.-based I.O. attendees. It's just a bunch of regulatory stuff that we have to get through. And so, you know, we'll try to broaden the base over time. We're trying to get it out to people as early as we
How
can
much?
So we can get that feedback.
We'll certainly buy one.
It will be $1,500. And
maybe
we're
we
going
won't.
To ship it to... We plan on shipping to early next
Never
year.
Mind.
15?
Eileen, don't buy one.
I just tweeted her to buy one. Now I'm like, wait.
You can get empty and whatnot. This is a really new technology.
No.
And we really want to get all of you to help shape it.
Never mind.
And that's why we really want to get it out into the
Eileen, cancel the order.
People as early as possible.
So, and early next year, so you're not going to...
There's
going to
be a booth set up. It's just going to be outside on your right, and you can stop by there anytime.
Well, I can do a Kickstarter by early next year, maybe. I'll afford it.
Do a Kickstarter.
Right now we're only
let Tom buy the glasses.
So, this is not, as I said, a mass consumer order. And what? I have some cleanup I have to do. So I apologize also. I kind of interrupted Vic's presentation. So... what I'm going to do.
So now
is,
back to Google Plus.
First of all,
in the biggest anticlimax in the history of presentations.
So much for presenting up here, and another round of applause for all the people.
He really is. It's like, how do I get out of this?
He actually, this was, I guess, because they.
I am Vic's boss in a way, sort of.
Yeah.
And please, let's see. Is Vic ready? Vic, I'm so sorry.
That's hysterical.
Thank you all very much. We're going to see you around the conference.
I think Vic's probably okay with it.
I'm sure Vic's fine with it. I mean,
it does make it a little hard to pick up the Google Plus presentation, however.
Just summarize, Vic. Just summarize.
Yeah, just say, well, okay, we're done.
When I woke up this morning, I wasn't expecting was that I was going to have a Taylor Swift moment. But,
see?
Thanks, Sergey. You know, Larry, our other co-founder, has a very famous saying at Google. He says you should have a healthy disrespect for the impossible. And I think what Sergey just showed you really an example of that. When your boss comes to you and says, hey, we're going to jump out of an airplane, we're going to land on the roof of Moscone, and then we're going to bike it in. You must be working at Google. And so it was really exciting to see something that magical. Let me just wrap up on events, and I've got some final announcements to make. The best way to wrap up on events is let's just go to that video, and I'll make a final comment after that. Let's play the video.
Low and so gung-ho.
If you're going to interrupt anybody, it's Vic's the guy to interrupt. He's the most poised Google presenter.
Affable.
We're wrapping up day one of the Google I.O. keynotes. There'll be a pair of them. Another one tomorrow we will cover live starting 9:30 Pacific, 12:30 Eastern. And if we expect... I don't know why my phone is playing noise. We expect... at that event to hear about a new Google TV and some Google Chrome announcements. As far as we could tell, the biggest thing that Gina I know wanted and I wanted was an API for Google Plus, and unless Vic says something next, it seems highly unlikely. Our live coverage of the Google I.O. events brought to you by Slingbox. Try it out at Amazon or Best Buy or visit slingbox.com/twit. And the video's wrapping up.
You know, when you think about what we're really trying to do with Google Plus events for before, during, and after, it really speaks to what we're trying to do with Google overall. You know, the best thing is for computers to have your back, and then you don't have to worry about them. You can focus on what makes people the happiest, on living and on loving. And not messing with annoying computers. With Google Plus events, all you have to do is show up at your event, hang out with your friends, take some photos. And we think that's a plus. So we're super excited. Now, we thought the best way to kick Google Plus events off is to have our first official event tonight, and you're going to be invited. That event tonight is an after-hours party, and that will become the first official Google Plus event. We have Train and Paul Oakenfold available tonight.
Okay.
It's going to be fun. Lots of food, lots of other entertainment. I've just got to ask for you. Please download the new Android version available in Google Play later today. That version will have...
Events is on the Google Plus page now.
You'll be able to turn on party mode. I'm going to go backstage in a few minutes and send all of you invites. And so expect an invite from me. We'll see how many contributing photographers we can get tonight at the party. Okay, I believe... one more thing. That's right. Hugo, can you join me on stage?
One more thing. This is...
Maybe they're going to give him something.
Yeah. I think this is where they give him something. There's so far nothing... everything's pre-ordered.
I think you have some exciting news for these folks.
Yeah. I do indeed. Well, because you guys are our most dedicated developers, we think it's really important for you to be able to experiment early with all the stuff you saw here today. All of your devices and your media working together. So we've put together for you an Android developer pack. All 6,000 of you are going to be walking away today with a brand new Galaxy Nexus phone.
There's a guy in the audience with Google glasses on. Did you see that?
And a brand new Nexus 7 tablet.
So Gina will be coming up with Kevin Marks. They will bring those up here, so we'll have a hands-on on those later on Twig. Of course, the Nexus we've seen.
You're gonna get the latest OTA of the Jelly Bean preview version a couple of hours after you power them on.
Nice. I have a Nexus at home. I guess I'll be powering that up to see what happens.
Should I keep going?
One more.
Okay. Well,
glasses.
You're also going to be the very first ones to get your hands.
They're all going to get cues. They have to see the cues.
You.
Yeah. So good. We'll be able to look at those physically a little later today. That's very generous. That's what about 200 plus 300 worth of stuff.
Thank you to the generosity of the Android team.
$700
worth of
hardware.
Thank you all for your support. Please don't run out and get these devices. They will be available today at 4 p.m. onwards on the ground.
I guess we won't have those.
Gear pickup.
No.
You
apologies.
Must have both your badge and an ID with you. So please, if you're standing in line, make sure you have your ID with you.
I may have to drive down.
Thanks to the Android department for taking that charge back. Yeah, you should drive down. And
yeah, because Kevin Marks has my badge, but it says my name.
Yeah, yeah. No badge swapping if you want the free stuff.
I should give him my driver's license. It looks exactly the same.
3, 2, 1.
I'm glad they got the video of that. Crazy. So you've been watching our live coverage of Google I.O. Day 1, the first keynote, and there were quite a bit of announcements, although if you filter out all the dross, basically they announced Jelly Bean, a new version of Android, which we expected. Nothing, in fact, unexpected at this point. The 7-inch tablet, the Nexus, what do they call it?
Google Nexus 7. Very Kindle Fire-like at 7 inches, but sort of iPad-looking.
Yeah.
Doesn't look like a Kindle Fire.
And with that, they're going to include magazines in the Google Play Store. They're going to include, of
focused
course...
Focused on Google Play, really, yeah, that tablet
yeah.
is.
It's a Play tablet, yeah. Camera in the front, not in the back. So
mullet.
What?
It's like a mullet.
Camera in front?
Nothing in the back. Wait, that's the opposite of a mullet. Never mind.
It's a business in the front, and just put it on the nothing in the back.
Yeah.
What else did they announce?
Google Nexus Q. Was something we
I blanked it out already. $299 for this media device, which was also leaked ahead of time. It has a 25-watt amp in it, so it's enough to drive some small speakers. But also streams from the cloud can be controlled with an Android device. So you hook it up to your TV. As they said over and over again, to your best television, not your worst, your best television and your best speakers.
Because it only streams to one at a time.
I guess that's it. Well, but here's the advantage. Your friends can come over and hijack the stream anytime. So that's fun.
They jumped out of a Zeppelin.
They jumped out of a Zeppelin. That was certainly amazing. And they announced Google Plus events. In fact, if you go to my screen, I don't know if you have my screen, John, but they've pushed that out onto Google Plus already. Here's the Google Plus events for all the moments that matter before, during, and after you die. And no, I'm sorry. It doesn't say that. I just, you can invite people to an event. You have a variety of themes. API was announced, no write API. So they've had a read API on Google Plus, and a lot of developers have been asking for some time for the ability to create apps. I think the fact that Google has announced now apps for iPad and Android tablets, as well as, of course, the existing revised G Plus apps for iPhone and Android, tell me that Google wants to control the experience 100% and is not looking for.
Going to make
party.
A positive spin, it means that they're not going to let a bunch of developers make apps right. and then steal them and shut them down, which
Twitter
has
did.
Run into
yeah.
before.
Yeah. yeah, I think perhaps they learned from Twitter. Although, you know, people like Gina Trapani, who wrote a very powerful app for Twitter called ThinkUp, would very much like to have the social signal from Google.
Well, and that's an example of not saying I'm not going to write an app that Twitter would do. I'm going to write an app that takes advantage of Twitter's API, and she can't do that as easily with Google Plus.
No. And I would guess that that's pretty much closing the door on that forever. They said there would be an API, but a write API. But the fact that they didn't announce one today pretty much indicates to me there will not be. So that's the only disappointment, but and not really any big surprises. But there's your coverage. We will come back tomorrow morning and do it all again at 9:30 Pacific, 12:30 Eastern time.
The keynote starts at 10 tomorrow.
10, so we'll do it at 10.
Yeah.
Then. All right. I was a little confused. I'm sorry.
Yeah, they put them
today.
At two different times.
Yeah.
It was weird. Yeah.
We will be there covering it live, and we expect, as I said, for Chrome OS announcements and a Google TV announcement. And who knows? Maybe there'll be other things that they can talk about. The Google Glasses announcement was a fairly big deal, certainly because of the sky jumping, but also because they are going to offer developers their own Google Glasses, very beta, said Sergey Brin.
Mm-hmm.
for $1,500 available next year. So,
and you have to be a U.S. attendee of right. the current Google I.O. to get it. They're not a consumer product.
As much as I don't want to spend that money, I guess we have to do it, so we will probably buy it. YouTube has already put up the video on YouTube of the keynote if you missed it or want to see it without our commentary.
Nice encoding turnaround, Colleen.
Pretty quick job. They already have 50,000 views, so that's amazing. I guess that's it for our breaking news. We thank our friends at Slingbox for making breaking news possible. Make sure you check out a Slingbox at Amazon or Best Buy. Slingbox sets up your home theater system so you can get online anywhere using an iPad app, an Android app, iPhone app. They've also got apps for desktops. Lets you watch your TV, control your DVR, watch playback and set new recordings, change the channel. Anything you could do at home, you could do with Slingbox anywhere on the internet. Slingbox.com/twit for more information. Thanks, Tom Merritt, for coming in early.
Thank
you, Leo. I
appreciate
it. TNT's coming up at 3 p.m. Pacific, 6 p.m. Eastern time, and I'm sure you'll have more to say.
We'll be, we'll be discussing these for sure.
And we are going to do This Week in Google in about an hour and a half. Gina Trapani and Kevin Marks are driving up right now, so we'll have them on the show to talk about their thoughts about what we just saw. I don't know if they'll be able to. They may, they're ingenious. They might be able to go over to PR and say, we want to bring them
up. Yeah, maybe.
So maybe they'll have those a little early for us. I would hope so. That's our Breaking Glass coverage. Thank you, Tinker Toy Tech. We have Breaking Glass coverage. The Nexus 9 is 159 pounds in the UK, which is a very unusual and good deal. And I ordered Nexus 7. That looks pretty. That's actually a pretty attractive device. $250 for 16 gigs, $200 for 8 gigs, running ice Jelly Bean. Did they talk about Jelly Bean at all?
That was what they started with.
They started they talked about what's new in Jelly Bean.
Yeah. Let me see what the significant bits were. But essentially, let's see. Project Butter, making the OS fast and smooth. You came in right on
that. I came in
that.
Right for the butter. I did. I did not miss the butter.
Apps resize around widgets so it's easier to put them on your home screen. Everything just kind of self-organizes. Voice typing offline, which is very
That's
cool.
That's huge. Yeah.
U.S. English Siri does to begin not with. Do. More to come. They're adding a bunch of input languages like Persian, Hindi, and Thai. They talked about some great accessibility options, gesture mode for blind users, external Braille Bluetooth device support. The new camera app was demonstrated with the integrated gallery, so it's easy to see what you just took a picture of and get rid of it if you don't like it. Notifications, taking actions directly from the notification. So if you want to play a video or you want to respond to an email, you don't have to leave to go to the
app. Like they had cloud intents, too, which meant that you could use the cloud to send intents to a phone. They've always been very good about that. You can tell on the website, you could say, install this on my phone, and the Play Store will install stuff on your phone.
And Google Now, which is the bossy thing that tries to guess what you want based on your search history and tell you what you need to know.
Based on what we know about you, we think you're interested in butter.
Yes. And they're not far wrong.
The event is at Moscone Center, and we will have video also. I know that the All About Android team is all there. Ron Richards, Eileen Rivera, and Jason Howell, and we'll come back with video from that, both for tonight's well, I don't know if you'll get it for TNT tonight, but you'll have it for later. I asked Jason to bring back some video. Here's a shot of the giant queue in the lobby. I can only imagine what attendees going into the keynote were thinking when they saw that.
It
looks like the Google Death Star. Yeah.
It's a dark portal robot.
I just pray there's a weakness somewhere around the air conditioning.
Fly around that middle.
I just hope.
Look for that exhaust port.
I just hope there's an exhaust port weakness because that Death Star.
Sergey, you've turned off your Project Glass. What's wrong?
Use the Force, Sergey. Thank you, Tom Merritt. Thank you for watching. We're going to switch now to a Security Now. I'll go into the other studio. This special broadcast brought to you by Slingbox. Thank you, Slingbox. We'll be back with more tomorrow.